Reboot the router.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, March 14, 2024. This is your award-winning Gibbo Nation Media Assassination, episode 1642.
This is No Agenda.
Track and TikTok trouble and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region number 6. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're tracking the SpaceX rocket, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Greg Bond and Buzzkill. In the morning.
We're not tracking the SpaceX rocket. Ugh, you're like Gene. Sir Gene. He always texts me like, it launched.
Well, you know, it's being launched from Texas. You should be right on top of this.
Well, no, I'm not. That's why I have Gene for that. Gene takes care of that stuff.
Regarding the rocket, I have a Ask Adam right off the bat.
Oh, my goodness.
Ask Adam. Ask Adam.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
You're at the ready.
It's just coincidence that I had it ready. I know. It's crazy. All right. What is it? The SpaceX speak question? Is that the end of the question?
Yeah, and here's the premise. So they're live streaming the SpaceX launch of this big giant rocket that's supposed to go to Mars.
With 33 after-burning, nitro-burning funny cars.
Yeah, and on.
Yeah.
And during the prelim, they're yakking away about this and that. And so they start talking about the different tests that typically blew up. And
now, is this thing going to the moon or is it just going to float around for a bit?
This one's just going to go around the earth and then crash into the ground.
Oh, groovy. It's the ground. Wait, doesn't it land on the pad like it always does? Like the
no, the booster in this case, it didn't light up right. And it wasn't going to land on the pad anyway. Okay. They're just throwing stuff away. So,
okay. Yes.
This is part of the prelim. They go into discussion about the last rocket launch, the second version of this thing. And it ends with a very interesting little... It just begs for an Ask Adam.
Before we dive into the details of today's test, let's recap the achievements of our last integrated flight test, Flight 2. All 33 Raptor engines on the Super Heavy booster started up successfully and, for the first time, completed a full duration burn during ascent. As you can see here, we saw amazing views of each Raptor engine burning during that ascent, which is something awesome because we don't get to see that with Falcon and its Merlin engines.
Now, next, Starship executed a successful hot stage separation, powering down all but three of Super Heavy's Raptor engines and successfully igniting the 6 second stage Raptor engines before the vehicle separated. This is the first time this technique has been done successfully with a vehicle of this size and scale.
Following separation, the Super Heavy booster successfully performed its flip maneuver and initiated the boost back burn. However, about 30 seconds into that burn, it experienced a rapid unscheduled disassembly or rut. That's SpaceX speak for
a rut. Rapid, unscheduled disassembly, everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the Ask Adam? I'm good at this.
Did you hear the very last ending?
Yeah, the RUD.
No, the very last ending where she says something.
Oh, hold on. Let me listen again.
Unscheduled disassembly or RUD. That's SpaceX speak for...
Oh, that's SpaceX speak for...
Okay, that's SpaceX. Now, we know Musk is a truth teller and all the rest... So I'm asking you, what is going to be their SpaceX speak? Is it going to be for it exploded? It blowed up? What do you think that, because you know, Musk is a straight talker. So what do you think that she's going to say next?
Well, it's clearly not going to be blowed up or explosion, because that wouldn't be SpaceX speak, which is a show title if I ever heard one. SpaceX speak. I'd say failure.
Ugh, you don't have the creativity of SpaceX. You'll never work there.
Okay, here's the answer.
Unscheduled disassembly or RUD. That's SpaceX speak for an exciting end to the booster's journey.
An exciting end to the booster's journey.
Hey, baby, I'm going to RUD you. Tonight, that's my Adam speak for an exciting end to an Adam journey. Woohoo! I'm surprised. I thought that you would certainly bring us up to date on the Grand Sumo highlights.
It just started.
I know. Well, I mean, we've had 3 days, 4 days already. I mean, who's on first?
Who's this? There's about five or six guys tied. It won't start to shake out for a few more days.
I'm always excited when you do that stuff. You give us a little grand sumo update.
Now, at least Terra no Fuji and some of the other, the Yokozuna's in play. So that's won the last one. The guy's won 9 tournaments so far.
If Yokozuna's in play, I'm glued to it.
Yeah.
Happy Pi Day.
Happy Pi Day, everybody.
Yes. We missed National Nap Day somehow, which is very disappointing.
Naps have never been a big, have not done us well. We had Nap for Humanity. We had a jingle. We had pictures of
we did. We had,
Michael Butler's daughter sleeping.
Oh, crap. Yeah. My system broke.
We couldn't get a nickel out of it.
Yeah, but we could have. I mean, how did we do with Nap for Human? I mean, with Pi Day, people always used to alert us in droves about Pi Day. Oh, Pi Day's coming up. Oh, it's.
I'd
Pi
say
Day,
it was
Pi
mediocre.
Hmm.
I mean, we didn't. It wasn't a flop like Valentine's Day.
Well, that's because there's no more love in the world.
There was during the COVID era. Valentine's Day was a big hit.
Now
that that's over, we got to have some, you know, more disease, I think, to get these, get our donations up.
Oh, there it is. Why do we need a new pandemic to get those donations
bird
up?
Flu.
Well, you sent me that article that the penguins now have the bird flu. I thought that was novel. I like that.
Penguins bird flu since they can't fly.
That was pretty
that doesn't
good.
Make sense.
Anyway, something amazing happened this morning. I was monitoring the networks. I was monitoring Andrea Mitchell because she can't speak anymore. She's always messing everything up. It's really odd.
She's 96, I think.
That's unfair. But, you know, they should just have her do different types of shows. When it's breaking news, I mean, she's not really good at it anymore.
She never was. She's always been a commentator.
And so right on the heels, this was really quite surprising, right on the heels of the Jews controlling the media. Now the Zionist Jews, who control the American, who control the American government. Have decided to coup themselves.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer today became the highest-ranking Democratic politician to call for the resignation of Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for his opposition to a Palestinian state and for the overall situation for Palestinian civilians in Gaza.
5 months into this conflict, it is clear that Israelis need to take stock of the situation and ask, must we change course? At this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel. At a time when so many Israelis have lost their confidence in the vision and direction of their government.
That's some power right there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, play it again and substitute the word Ukraine.
Yeah. Ukraine is, I mean, this is dynamite. I actually chopped up that video that you posted this morning. I think we should just play it. There was a two camera scripted.
Oh, yeah, two camera for some shoot. Unknown reason, a two camera shoot of Macron taking a call from Zelensky in the early days phases of the war.
No, this is now.
This is now?
This is now.
Oh, it sounds like the early stages.
No, I think this is now. You're telling me
you
this
think
is not
this
now?
Is now?
Well, now you've got me confused. I was getting this as a new occurrence.
I mean, I think they were promoting. That's a good word. They were pushing or promoting the notion that this has just happened. The whole thing seems super staged to me because of the two camera shoot. There's no reason to do that.
But I
you have two cameras in the guy's office. And they're doing it, and they got a floor director, a floor guy pointing at each camera. And what's going on in there?
Well, the big thing, I think it's current, John, because they're talking about negotiating. Did you watch the whole thing?
I did. And okay, play it. Play it.
Terrible what they do. So you know that they allow me some more CDs. The center's
open. And it started with a little bit of music, and then the music went away. I chopped out all the silences because they left these long, like the acting coach had said, don't rush your lines. Take it easy. Take a beat. Take a beat or two or three, and then deliver your next line.
Some regions, they have tanks, airplanes already there. And now they're in Kyiv. We are fighting in Kyiv.
See, he's saying they're in Kyiv. Do you think this is? I'm now questioning it if it's old, because I don't like being hoaxed like that. Do you think that this is old?
Well, they're in Kyiv. The only time that the Russians were floating around Kyiv was at the very beginning of the war. They were never in Kyiv.
Well,
maybe there were a few tanks or something that ran through thinking they were going to get, you know, somebody's going to throw posies at them. Not sure. But they're not in Kyiv at the moment.
Yeah, I don't want to play it then. I mean, because it's not all that great a quality.
No, the quality sucks.
Maybe I just...
So it's much better.
Well, at the end is the money shot here.
You will see. And what I want to say, just stop the war and speak with me.
But you will ask where you are ready to go. You're ready to sit down around the table and start negotiating.
So that, I mean, I've never heard this clip before. Are you ready to sit down around the table and start negotiating?
You're ready to sit down around the table and start negotiating.
Okay, that does make it sound more contemporary, because there's going to be some meetings in Switzerland that Russia refuses to attend because the meetings are going to be around the Zelensky proposal for a peace.
Well, let's listen to this last 30 seconds of this little skit they did.
You're ready to sit down around the table and start negotiating?
Of course.
Okay.
We have to. Of course, we have to.
Okay, Vladimir, as soon as I have feedback from this side, I will do it. And let me revert to you on what we can do. I mean, for sure, very few things on the Russian side, but let me see with my people what could make sense to help on this issue.
Okay, thank you.
No, take care.
Yeah, the whole video is worth watching, with the subtitles a little easier to follow, but I'd never heard
this.
Yeah,
have the subtitles.
Where he says, "Yeah, well, you got ready to sit down around the negotiating table?" Well, of course, he says. Nah, that has to be now. Or as you say, contemporary.
Well, it either has to be now, but I don't... when does he ever... yeah, because he's always said, no. So all of a sudden, he's saying, yeah.
By the way, everyone listening within the sound of my voice... what did the algo tell you to worry about today, huh? I don't know about you, but everybody in the neighborhood seems to be really hot on this really big story. It's about Macron. You better sit down. No, pull over. Wake the kids.
The biggest political scandal ever.
Ever.
And no, I am not being dramatic. If what is happening right now in France is real, and I can tell you right now, I firmly believe that it is.
I mean, this is Candace Owens. We have to take her at her word.
I didn't have any plans for this. I thought it might be worth talking about in passing, but since you have the clip.
Yes.
We have to get in. Now, this is ridiculous.
It's only the setup, so I don't have a short clip. I'm not going to drag it out. The fact that Candace Owens did a 45-minute podcast about this, that was in conjunction with, you know, either... I think that this story's been... okay, a couple of things.
Now, you want to tell people what we're talking about?
No, let's listen to it. We'll listen to it. It's funny. It stands by itself, and then we'll dissect what could be going on here. Yes.
Then, barring political assassinations, this is potentially the biggest political scandal that has ever happened in the history of the world.
Sure.
I mean, it's so important that I'm not just going to ask you guys to watch this, but to also share it. It's another potential.
It's bigger than Watergate. Bigger than January 6th.
Blackmail ring. This is crazy.
Crazy.
I'm talking crazy, 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 crazy. Stop everything. Yeah. Pay attention. If you're driving, pull over. Emmanuel Macron is the president of France. He is married to Brigitte Macron. Okay. Their love story has always been extremely weird and extremely creepy. There was just an article that was published in the Daily Mail. Here is the headline. The proof France's first lady wasn't born a man. What? I was going, what? So I, of course, instantly read it, because what a bizarre thing that you're even needing to present proof that Brigitte Macron was not born a man. So the quote-unquote conspiracy theory is actually a three-year thorough investigation that was conducted by journalists that were working with genealogists. Their theory is that the first lady, Brigitte Macron, was actually born Jean-Michel. So Brigitte is actually John Michael. John Michael lived as a man for 30 years. Fathered five children, okay, and then transitioned at the age of 30 to become Brigitte.
So I was so surprised that Candace Owens did anything on this story, but her setup to me could only be, we have to embarrass Macron because, you know, he's doing boots on the ground bull crap.
Okay, so. Yeah. I'm going to preface what you're saying. You're going to, before, and I also, I should mention that she said specifically she's going to put her career on the line.
Stake her career on the line. Yes, her whole career.
Stake her career that this is true. Mm-hmm. So what you would be suggesting as you unfold this scandal.
Yes.
Is that Candace Owens is a agent of the U.S. government. She's a spook.
No.
She's presenting misinformation for the purposes of embarrassing Macron based on what she was told to do.
I think she is a controlled opportunist, for sure. For sure. Yes. And that doesn't mean that she's working for an agency. You know, like, we don't actually work for the Zionists. Wink, wink. No. But that she gets the story and gets reliable. You know what it's like? Like, hey, Candace, I'm over here, boots on the ground in the three-letter agency. Let me tell you what I've learned. Oh, yeah, let me check you out. Go to LinkedIn. Oh, my God, yes, you work there. Okay. I mean, I know how this works.
Oh, you could.
I know how this works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would work. It would be... okay, just don't say where you got this information. It's going to make you look terrific. Yeah, you're going to be on top of this. You're going to be number one.
Yeah, I'm going to send you this from Proton Mail. It's secure. I've got a link to a Brighteon video. You'll love it. Yes. So I was thinking it could be that this story comes out to embarrass Macron. Then all of a sudden, he's got to be the guy that ends the war. Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm going to talk to my people here, Volod. I'll talk to my people. I'll get back to you soon. Are you safe? Are you safe? Are you sure you're safe? Okay. You ready to sit around the negotiating table? This was my idea. Because, you know, if I go to the Ruskies, if I go to Putin, you know, they're going to want to sit down. Are you ready? I'm doing it for you. So
it was my idea to have a two-camera shoot in my office.
Here's your script. It was great. So just putting that together... Something is up, and it's time. It is time. We have to end this thing. The money is just not working. Nobody, although that's not entirely
by
true.
By the way,
well, it's not entirely
if
true.
Biden ends this thing before, like, summer,
yeah,
he can use it as a campaign point, talking point.
Well, here's the latest.
I ended it.
In a surprise move, the White House today. In a surprise move, the White House today announcing a new $300 million weapons package for Ukraine. This despite the gridlock that's kept Congress from passing new Ukraine aid for months. Pentagon officials say they were able to come up with the money through savings on long-term contracts with weapon makers.
Hey, we did a long-term contract and we saved money. Yeah, said no contractor ever. Said the Pentagon never. What? That is such bullcrap.
Pentagon.
Oh, no. You know, oh, no. Please, never.
You know, I'm just still thinking of the spooky side of this.
Yeah.
So visualize the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
Spook.
Oh yes. A Christian nationalist spook.
That's not out of the ordinary.
No, it used to be Catholics in action, and the Catholics lapsed. So, you know, the Christian nationalists took over the business. Yeah, I believe that.
He just looks like one. He's got that He's just got that look of a guy as a bureaucrat. He's been, you know, he knows what he's doing. And he's
he also looks like a choir boy.
He can probably kill you.
He also looks like a choir boy. So I don't know. Well,
choir. But there's he looks more like a spook than a choir boy to me.
But let's just stick with what's going on, because the EU is now dancing around what they have been talking about doing, which is stealing the Russian money. And we already kind of identified the plan. And because there's no money, and by the way, that's Trump's fault, because there's no money going to Ukraine, they've come up with the novel solution, which I think we indicated was a way to go a couple shows ago.
So, Stuart, Brussels reportedly planning to take the profits generated by seized Russian assets in Europe and send that money to Ukraine. The Financial Times reporting that the first payments could come as early as this July. Euroclear is a Brussels-based financial services firm that handles cross-border securities settlements. Some 190 billion euros in Russian assets are frozen there by Western sanctions. Those assets continue to generate profits around 3.8 billion per year in interest and other payouts. Western countries have so far been divided about whether or not to give Russia's underlying assets to Ukraine. So the EU now instead focusing on just sending the profits that those assets generate to fund Kyiv's war effort.
And the plan comes as financial aid to Ukraine has been rather stalled in recent months.
It has indeed. Ukraine says only about half of the $37 billion it needs this year has been allocated by the EU and the International Monetary Fund. One key holdup, of course, is the U.S., where hardline Republicans in the House of Representatives are holding up a $60 billion aid package. U.S. intelligence leaders say that money could make the critical difference for Ukraine on the battlefield this year.
Do you think that they invested it in treasuries, or did they maybe buy some Bitcoin? What do you think they so what does Euroclear do? They just it was interest and some other investments that they made. So they're investing Russia's frozen money? Is that what they're doing?
You have to put it aside. Maybe it's in Euro bonds.
I mean, it's pretty interesting. You know, we're not really going to steal your money, but didn't we pay back Iran's money with interest?
I don't know if I think we did.
I think we paid them back. Or yes, I'm. I think
well,
I
their
recall
money
this.
Is going to be in an account.
Yeah.
And the money in the account will be accumulating interest back into the account. So if you're going to pull an account out, you just don't take the profits.
That's really nice. You know, when you freeze money for a war, for war criminals, but we'll let you get interest just in case the war ends, and then we can give it back to you. It sounds all a little bit specious.
Well, there's this, the aspect of it is, hey, you took my money in an inflationary economy, and you giving me my money back 10 years later, which is like, you know, I've lost like 10-20% of
half a million, half a
where's,
million,
where's the interest?
Half a million people died. That's not, you know, maybe give the interest to them or their families. Nah, screw y'all. We're just,
well, they're never going to give anything to the people.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
Fix potholes for that matter.
So if that wasn't the number one most discussed or most important thing the algo was telling everybody. Oh no. I mean, I got from, let me read this. My friends in Austin. I mean, and you know, they know I'm on the, you know, I got my ear to the ground. I know stuff that's going on, you know, it's like, so literally the question was, is Brigitte Macron a tranny? Yes, you are considered.
Somebody actually sent you that.
Oh, yeah. The former Hollywood executive. And the second question, is Kate Middleton dead? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, that's a big question. We all wonder if Kate Middleton's dead. She's supposed to be in a coma.
It's unbelievable what people are concerned about.
Just as an aside,
yeah.
That phony baloney picture of her, I did not put it in the newsletter. But the phony baloney picture of her with her three kids surrounding her, she's grabbing them. She doesn't have a ring on
it. It was great.
That picture, and everyone says, oh, they Photoshopped. That's not a Photoshop picture. That picture is a classic example of AI.
And as said the expert, John C. Dvorak.
Besides the fact that her hands are in the wrong positions, but That but one kid's weird hand has got the wrong finger.
Now you're doing the same thing. You're now in the discussion.
I'm just saying it's an aside. You heard the word aside.
Yeah.
I just want to get this off of my chest.
Okay.
Which is the fact that everyone keeps saying it was Photoshopped.
No, they kept. I heard it was AI retouched.
I'm telling you, I could find Photoshopped after Photoshopped after Photoshopped mention on clips. Okay. I didn't want to do it. You brought it up, by the way, Kate Middleton.
And then I dropped it, and you said as an aside, and then you moved it to center lane.
That's because since you brought it up, I have to complain about people saying it was Photoshopped. And the other giveaway. Yeah. You can't get three kids in any photo to smile at the same time looking like that.
Yes,
it's true. Impossible.
It's true. It's true. But again, it's amazing what the algos do to people. Oh, I need to know about this. This is important stuff. Kate Middleton, please. It's like really I wish her well, but the most unimportant thing in the universe. And then let's get back to the Jews for a second, because this is too funny. So now this other controlled opportunist, Ian Carroll, he's the guy that started the whole Diddy thing, the Diddy lawsuit with the sex parties, and immediately connected it to Whitney Webb's outstanding reporting on J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah, there's the giveaway.
Right. And everyone's now sending me links to this guy on Twitter, and he's on TikTok, but it posts on Twitter. Right. This guy, this is a good explanation. This explains exactly what's going on with TikTok. It's the Jews. The Jews want it gone.
So they're pushing another TikTok ban bill really hard. But something does not add up about it at all.
Bro, I've been trying to wrap my head around this for the last couple days, and nothing was making sense until I stumbled upon this leaked recording. First off, what I'm about to get into is highly controversial. It's extremely sensitive, so I'm going to have to be really careful.
It's a leaked recording, John, from 4 or 5 months ago. Leaked recording, very highly sensitive. Stand back, it's on X.
About it. This leaked recording is from about 4 or 5 months ago. It's Jonathan Greenblatt. He is the head of the Anti-Defamation League.
And so we really have a TikTok problem, a Gen Z problem. Because again, like, we've been chasing this one point to five.
So what he's saying here is we have a Gen Z problem. He does, because see all the Palestinian protests. We have a TikTok problem. We need the same brains that were behind Taglit, which is, you know, the go back to Israel, the Taglit. He's talking about a PR campaign. He's not talking about getting rid of it. Well, but then he just called his fellow Jews over there in American government, and they'll get rid of it.
We need to put our energy towards this, like, fast.
Clear as day, we have a generational problem.
Really understand it.
TikTok problem, and we're going to need to put all our energy into this. And if there's any lobby that owns more U.S. politicians, it is this one.
Ah,
I can't really say it out loud, but
he's pointing towards AIPAC documents.
This is the one. Democrats and Republicans alike fear this lobby's clout. We can count on over half the House, 250 to 300 members, to do reflexively whatever they want. In 24 hours, we could have the signatures of 70 senators on this napkin.
That's right. That's how they're getting rid of Bibi.
Literally playing out right before our very eyes. There's also this Time magazine article that just came out. Why TikTok needs to be sold or banned before the 2024 election. The article barely even mentions China or election security.
Oh, no.
The entirety of it focuses solely on this issue right here. Another chart from the article. And the ironic thing is that, yes, it's true. A foreign government has infiltrated the U.S., except it's just not the country they want you to think it is.
It's not China. It's Israel. Don't you see? They're responsible for taking down TikTok. Oh, so I have a couple of TikTok clips to play. First, Associated Press decided to roll out their Gen Z reporter, which, I mean, you look at this young woman, and she's a nerd. and she's visually perfect for the piece. Delivery, 4-.
TikTok might get banned in the United States. Not yet. But the proposed bill passed today in the House and is headed to the Senate.
The rules are suspended. The bill is passed. And without the objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
Democrats and Republicans have raised concerns for some time because parent company ByteDance is based in China.
Was it developed in China?
Some of it is.
Okay.
Is the user data of the 170 million Americans on TikTok secure? Or will China's ruling party compel ByteDance to hand the data over? Under a 2017 law, they can do that. The bill isn't a clear-cut ban. It would require the parent company to divest from TikTok within 6 months of the bill's enactment, or it's out. This has come up before. Last March, a ban was on the table, and CEO Suzy Chu told lawmakers during a hearing that the company was migrating U.S. user data to servers with the Texas-based company Oracle. And even before that, Trump tried to ban the app through executive order. In preparation for this vote, TikTok sent a notification to some users urging them to call their representatives and speak out against this bill. This bill has bipartisan support, and Biden's White House provided technical support in the draft, even though he is campaigning for 2024 on TikTok.
All right, so worthless report, but I needed to show the idiocy of them rolling out the Gen Z to report on this, which of course has nothing to do with spying. But you know, let's talk to Jim Hines. He is the ranking member of the House Intel Committee. So the House just passed this bill, which says, there was so much about, I'll play this first. Massey. Like, this is a Patriot Act.
The gentleman from Kentucky is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I know the sponsors of this bill are sincere in their concerns and in their effort to protect Americans. They've described the TikTok application as a Trojan horse, but there's some of us who feel that either intentionally or unintentionally, this legislation to ban TikTok is actually a Trojan horse. Some of us are concerned that there are First Amendment implications here. Americans have the right to view information. We don't need to be protected by the government from information. Some of us just don't want the president picking which apps we can put on our phones or which websites that we can visit. We don't think that's appropriate. We also think it's dangerous to give the president that kind of power, to give him the power to decide what Americans can see on their phones and their computers. To give him that sort of discretion, we also think is dangerous. Now, people say that this TikTok ban will only apply to TikTok or maybe another company that pops up just like TikTok, but the bill is written so broadly that the president could abuse that discretion and include other companies that aren't just social media companies and that aren't, as some people would believe, controlled by foreign adversaries. Again, we're giving the president that discretion to decide whether it is controlled by a foreign adversary. There were some people who were legitimately concerned that this was an overly broad bill, and they got an exclusion written into the bill that I want to read. It says Panera. The term covered company does not include an entity that operates a website or application whose primary purpose is to allow users to post product reviews, business reviews, or travel information and reviews. Why is this exception in the bill? Why did somebody feel like they needed this exception if the bill itself only covers social media applications that foreign adversaries are running? These and other questions we hope to answer in the course of this debate, and I reserve the balance of my time.
It's gotten increasingly hard to determine who's taking money from which Silicon Valley entity, because a lot of it comes from lobbying firms and other firms that are, you don't know who their customers are. But again, the guy who introduced this bill.
I'm sorry, you also have super PACs.
There's that too. But super PACs are shown as a super PAC in opensecrets.org. The guy who introduced this bill, Gallagher, one of his biggest donors is Google. So this is obviously Silicon Valley. It's what we called it the last time. But, they're eating our lunch. But whoever owns Yelp, I guess they're protected because they got a little provision in there. It's like, hey, not for review sites, okay? Or maybe against Yelp. Who does own Yelp?
Is Yelp publicly traded, isn't it?
Oh, well, there's a short then. I mean, this is so blatantly obvious. And of course, this is, as we talked about, this is ultimately, you want people focused on China. You want them worried about China. China is a problem. Don't look at Ukraine. Don't look at Russia. We can't do anything with those guys. Here's $300 million. Shut up. Do your little skit. So this was this morning. Jim Hines, the ranking member of the Intelligence Committee, the guys who had this in committee, and then, you know, passed it. And then it went to a vote, and the House went, oh, yeah, TikTok, got to ban it. Oh, yeah, got to get rid of it. And this guy voted no.
Joining me now is Democratic Congressman Jim Hines, ranking member of the Intelligence Committee. He voted against the bill. Now, so you're an intelligence expert. You know that the worldwide threat said China interfered in the 2022 election.
Wait, I thought it was Russia. And now it's China? Did you hear, did China interfere in the 2022 election?
Well, the 2022 election was that midterm, the interim election.
Yeah, did China
meddle with it? The Democrats won.
Yeah, so.
Midterm election. Why did you vote against it?
Well, Andrea, yeah, I have a very specific sense for the threat. I spent a lot of time thinking about it, right. And it is a specific threat. It is largely a potential threat in as much as we have not seen the Chinese so far use TikTok as a way to influence the elections. But look, this is
Wait a minute. This guy's on the Intel committee. He's saying, we haven't really seen that. But look,
a broader topic, you know, spend a moment or two on Twitter or X, look at the influence that Elon Musk has. The point I'm making here is that if the Congress were serious about dealing with this threat, we would start with a federal privacy bill. But more importantly, and here's why I voted no, more importantly, I'm pretty serious about supporting the First Amendment. I'm pretty serious about freedom of expression.
Oh,
and for
please.
The United States government to tell 150 million people in the United States, which this would happen if ByteDance didn't divest of TikTok, for the government to say to 150 million Americans, you can no longer participate in this venue of protected speech, first of all, it would run into First Amendment problems. We saw that in Montana where they tried to do this. And secondly, you know, we've spent our entire history as a country saying to dictatorial regimes, you can't shut down newspapers, you can't shut down the public square. And for the United States to take that step based on a bill that had all of 4 days consideration in the House, I was not going to be a part of that.
So this guy clearly parroting the TikTok CEO talking points, which is, this is a violation of your First Amendment rights. Oh, please. So this guy, he's mad because he wants control of all social media companies, not just a single TikTok bill. That's no good. And by the way, he calls it for what it is.
I take your point. So why do you think Marco Rubio and Mark Warner, the bipartisan chair and vice chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, voted or in favor of it?
Well, they released a statement. There wasn't a vote in the Senate. It's not clear that there will be, but they did really release a statement supportive of it. And look, I have a lot of respect for both of them, but I will tell you that one of the things that's happening right now on Capitol Hill is that people are falling all over themselves to appear hawkish against China. And that instinct is not a bad one. China is doing lots and lots of things that we would rather that they did not do. But China is also a place where we do $700 billion of trade. It's a place where we have, you know, certain common interests that we should be working together on. And so just because the Congress is falling all over itself for each member to demonstrate how hawkish they are on China, that doesn't mean that, you know, compromising the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, the Constitution that we all take an oath to support, that's necessarily the right thing to do.
So he's calling it correctly. This is about virtue signaling. China's bad. Pay attention, America. China, China, China. And then at the end, he comes out again with, he's so concerned about the First Amendment that he wants to regulate all social media.
By the way, don't get me wrong here. I would be much happier if TikTok were not ultimately owned by a Chinese company. I would be much happier if their algorithms were here in the United States. I'm not going to say that Steve Mnuchin is the guy, but I hope that there is a disposition there. But remember, Andrea, and this is really important. Facebook, Twitter, all these other social media platforms are completely unregulated, completely uncontrolled because the Congress has failed its basic duty
there
to pass privacy legislation. Until we do that, Andrea, the way the Europeans have, the way the state of California has, we're not really in a position to be overly preachy about the dangers associated with social media. Those dangers, like I said, spend 10 minutes on Twitter, X, and you'll see we've got a lot of work to do around all social media platforms before we start getting high and mighty about one in particular.
So this guy wants to regulate everything. He's full of crap on all accounts. But he's right about the China virtue signaling, and he brings up Mnuchin. Well, this just makes it more hilarious. The Trump Treasury Secretary, Mnuchin, who he's gotten rid of his tics, by the way. He was on CNBC, and you know I'm hyper focused. He had zero Tourette's. Just before the interview started, he had a little twitch there, but he has it well under control. And he figured, I can go buy that because I'm Mnuchin.
Well, you know, when I was Treasury Secretary, I chaired CFIUS, and CFIUS approved, and I had President Trump sign an order that TikTok had to be sold. And I continue to believe that. So I think the legislation should pass, and I think it should be sold. I understand the technology. It's a great business, and I'm going to put together a group to buy TikTok.
You're trying to buy TikTok?
I am, because it should be owned by a U.S. businesses. There's no way that the Chinese would ever let a U.S. company own something like this in China.
Have you already put a group together?
No, I'm working
on it. You're exploring a group.
I've spoken to a bunch of people, but
who would be part of your group?
I can't tell that to you now, but it would be a combination of investors.
Saudis.
There would be no one investor that controlled this. And the issue is all about the technology. This needs to be controlled by U.S.
Let me ask you a very practical question. If you talk to folks inside the world of TikTok themselves, they would suggest that it is almost impossible within a 6-month time period. What do you know about, now that you've studied this business several years ago, and I imagine you continue to, how you would actually operationally do it?
Well, let me first say, I don't think this should be controlled by any of the big U.S. tech companies. I think there could be antitrust issues on that, and this should be something that's independent, so we have a real competitor, and users love it, so it shouldn't be shut down. The technology, I won't go into all the details, but the app needs to be rebuilt in the U.S. It needs to be U.S. technology. I think there's a lot that could be done in 6 months, but I would work closely with the U.S. and with China.
But do you think that the bill would need to get rewritten by the Senate, effectively, to give you more than 6 months? Is it a timing issue? Do you think
I think a lot can be done in 6 months.
But he just said he couldn't do it in 6 months.
A lot. A lot can be done. I can do a lot in 6 months. Last clip here. If it really is getting children to hate America and believe in Osama bin Laden's letter, and is it really helping illegals, I'm sorry, newcomers, cross the border?
Do you believe that the data that it is collecting today, both the data that's being collected and potentially certain things that are being pushed?
Andrew Ross Sorkin is a dork. I mean, does he not know that every single app that is on a phone collects all this data? It's the same data. This TikTok has nothing special except, oh, yeah, these are the videos you watch. I mean, you're watching Reels. It's repurposed TikTok videos. It's the same thing.
Do you believe that the data that it is collecting today, both the data that's being collected and potentially certain things that are being pushed to the users, is being influenced and directed by the Chinese government today? Or do you look at this as a prospective national security threat, meaning it has not been put into practice in any meaningful way right now, but the worry is that one day it could? Which is it?
Well, I'm not going to comment on what's today, but I will comment. There's no question that on a forward basis, they have both the ability to influence the data and they have the ability to collect data, which is probably the bigger concern.
But you're not going to comment on today because you can't do that without giving away things that you might know that others wouldn't?
That's true. And also, I think kind of the issue today, again, I think the focus should be, it should be sold, it should be controlled by a U.S. business. It's a great company. It would be terrible if it would shut down. Lots of users use
it. What do you think it'll do?
And we need a competitor to Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
No. Well, do we know? This whole thing, do you really think he can put together enough money? I mean, this thing will be valued I mean, think today, even at the at cut prices, because it might get kicked out of the app stores, it's probably $250 billion.
Well, it's actually 60, according to everybody.
yeah. I don't buy that.
But it's like this whole thing, you know, what's annoying, besides the fact that we're the ones always bitching about China shutting down our stuff.
Yeah.
The idea that we can't compete with international companies, with, you know, we have to, everything has to be, I mean, made in America is great when it's made in America. But if something better comes along, shouldn't that give us some impetus to do, you know, to compete with them
better?
Instead of bitching and moaning and shutting them down because we can't compete with them? I mean, I think it's like we've sunk to that. We have to shut these guys down because we can't compete.
I think
your initial thesis, we don't want to forget that, which is that this is just a
YouTube.
This is for YouTube and Google and Facebook and Twitter, because they don't want these guys around.
Yeah, because
Insta.
And also, I'm not so impressed. Their algorithm is quite simple. You like blue hair and trans? Here's all your blue hair trans videos. How hard is that? You like Jesus? Here's your Jesus videos. We're not going to put any Beelzebub videos in your Jesus videos. It's that simple.
And not only is it that simple, but I have never, you know, you listen to the earlier clip where the ADL or somebody is irked about the anti-Jewish content or Gaza something. I go on TikTok probably more than you do because I like to look for clips. And I have never seen one anti-Jewish clip on TikTok ever because they don't send them to me.
No,
because I'm always looking for the blue-haired teacher, you know, that's a non-binary.
You get the non-binaries. Yeah,
I get a bunch of non-binary guys or women with a big thing in their nose. They look like a bull.
But remember, we kept hearing from, they want TikTok gone because that's where MAGA is. No, if you're MAGA, you're going to get MAGA clips.
I'll be honest. No. In fact, I have some clips. Well, these clips are part of a presentation, but I do have some TikTok clips today, which are anti-MAGA.
But that's what I'm saying. Their algo is so beautifully simple. They just say, instead of, if someone's over here in their filter bubble, we have to give them a little bit of controversy because then they fight and then they're on it longer. No, TikTok, I know you can comment. People don't even really care.
No,
flip, just go through it.
100%.
Whoa!
I said it on
100%.
Purpose. 100%. You don't find that. It's just entertainment after. You want to watch, you know, people falling on their ass? You don't need to comment on that. You just, boy, there's another one. Oh, look at that one falling on her ass.
Exactly. That's the genius.
And there's thousands of people falling on their ass.
And that's the genius of TikTok. I don't understand, how can it be so hard? Well, I guess it's hard to retool YouTube then, their algo or whatever. I don't see why it's so difficult. In fact, we should buy TikTok. We know how to do it. I'll call up my TikTok friend. Mnuchin's ticking for talk. Now, I mean, this is ridiculous. So yes, there's an element of China in there, but by the way, this just broke this morning. Let me see, where is it now? Which I was looking for, I couldn't find any news clips yet. It's an exclusive from Reuters. Today, 2 years into office, President Donald Trump authorized the Central Intelligence Agency to launch a clandestine campaign on Chinese social media aimed at turning public opinion in China against its government, according to former U.S. officials with direct knowledge of the highly classified operation. So that's code for the CIA leaked this. And we're going
highly classified. If it's that classified, how did that get out at all?
The three former officials told Reuters that the CIA created a small team of operatives who used bogus internet identities.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Mark Pugner, to spread negative narratives about Xi Jinping's government while leaking disparaging intelligence to overseas news outlets. The effort, which began in 2019, has not previously been reported. So,
what is this? Hold on. Well, let's stop it for a second and do a quick analysis. Why does Trump have to be involved if they're going to do this at all?
Okay.
Here's, he had to give it the okay. I don't think so.
Here's what I was thinking. We can blame Trump for China problems. We can blame Trump on COVID.
Well, but Biden actually did that in his State of the Union.
Well, listen to what I'm saying. We can blame COVID on Trump because in 2019, they started to meddle with the Chinese on their own social networking sites. And the Chinese went, oh, yeah, take COVID. There's all kinds of possibilities with this.
Oh, they're all lame.
But, I mean, you know, for sure, this is a plant from the CIA. Oh, here. They promoted allegations that members of the ruling Communist Party were hiding ill-gotten money overseas and slammed, it's a CIA term, slammed as corrupt and wasteful China's Belt and Road Initiative, which provides financing for infrastructure projects in the developing world, the sources told Reuters. This is some kind of binary setup on Trump that will unfold, but they're going to blame something on Trump regarding China. Oh, it was his fault. I mean, it makes zero sense.
Well, this is weak.
And it's a Reuters exclusive.
Maybe it's a compliment to Trump.
Well, whatever it is, the timing is, there's no coincidences. All this China stuff is happening, and now we're going to blame something on Trump? Well, we have China problems. China is a problem in the Indo-Pacific. Yet Trump, if only Trump hadn't done that, oh, well, sorry, Ukraine, Trump did it. Something like that. Remember, these people are lame. So this shows you some of that lame thinking that they've got going on.
Well, the latest thing I've been kind of pulling down is the Trump's a dummy clips.
What? He's a dummy? Oh, no.
A real big dummy.
Okay. Well, let's play some.
Let me play the one clip from the Her hearing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Her. Yeah, this is
Her. H-U-R.
Her is a, yes, is a they, them.
They, them, he, her.
Mm-hmm.
So her, I'm getting this clip out of the way because this is the main clip that got picked up on that. Why did any of this happen in the first place? What was Biden doing with all the classified documents? And, you know, the Republicans were kind of, you know, grilling her and the Democrats were just complaining about Trump. It had nothing to do with this hearing.
The setup is that the special investigator, was it investigator or prosecutor? Special investigator. You had to go and check out Biden's documents. Same thing that Trump had done. He comes back with a report and says, yep, he had a whole bunch of documents. The guy's no good, but he's an old man, so I'm not going to do anything about it. Am I categorizing that properly?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right.
But let's listen to, this is the kind of, this was the nut, is like the, you say in journalism, the nut
mm-hmm.
of the hearing. And it's worth playing because nobody's playing it. And this is like the key issue right here, Her hearing book deal.
Mr. Her, why'd you do it? Why did Joe Biden, in your words, willfully retain and disclose classified materials? I mean, he knew the law. Been in office like 50 years, 5 decades in the United States Senate, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, 8 years as vice president. You know he knew the rules because you said so on page 226. President Biden was deeply familiar with the measures taken to safeguard classified documents. So Joe Biden knew the rules. You know he knew the rules. And Joe Biden told us he knew the rules. So, Mr. Her, why did he break them?
Congressman, the conclusion as to exactly why the president did what he did is not one that we explicitly address in the report. The report explains my decision to the attorney general that no criminal charges were warranted in this manner.
I think you did tell us. I think you told us, Mr. Her. Page 231, you said this. President Biden had strong motivations. That's a key word. We're getting the motive now. Biden had strong motivations to ignore the proper procedures for safeguarding the classified information in his notebooks. Why did he have strong motivations? Because, next word, because he decided months before leaving office to write a book. That was his motive. He knew the rules. He broke them because he was writing a book. And you further say, and he began meeting with the ghostwriter while he was still vice president. There's the motive. Mr. Herr, how much did President Biden get paid for his book?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure if that information appears in the report.
It sure does. There's a dollar amount in there.
It may be $8
million. $8 million. Joe Biden had 8 million reasons to break the rules, took classified information and shared it with the guy who was writing the book. That's why he did. He knew the rules, but he broke them for $8 million in a book advance.
Oh, that's interesting. He gave it to the ghostwriter?
Well, he gave the classified documents to the ghostwriter. I'm sure he paid a minimum wage.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He gave the classified documents to the ghostwriter.
But the $8 million advance, I looked in. This was like a book that sold nothing. It was an $8 million advance from an imprint of Macmillan called Flatiron Press. And these deals, all of a sudden you get $8 million as vice president. I'm not convinced that this isn't a kind of a back-ended way of getting something after you did your job, but you can't take a bribe. So now you get $8 million after the fact. It's just obviously what was going on, because this was a book about his death of his son, Bo, and just a bunch of self-flattery, the book itself, which came out in 2017. That was the main
consent of the governed do not agree with this. This is no good.
Meanwhile, the Democrats are not talking about any of this stuff. They refuse to even cross-examine her. They ended with stuff like this. This is her hearing. The Nadler. Here's Nadler.
He's still
instead
alive?
Of asking about anything, he's doing this.
One of the great memories of all time, James Webb. I don't remember the names. Don't remember.
Oh, wait,
the
stop,
names.
Stop, 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 stop. I got to set this up properly.
Yeah,
so Nadler, he goes on a tirade, and then he throws up on the screen, they have some audio-visual coordination, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
A super clip, which you're going to hear.
Oh.
Of Trump being a dummy. It's Trump forgetting a name, Trump fumbling. Now,
this is to show that Trump is just as old and
as addled as dumb. As
Biden. Although, as Biden, if I can interrupt for a second, have you seen Biden's new shoes?
No, I have not seen that.
Oh, my God. He's got these huge platforms underneath, like broad, so that he can't tip over. It's great.
Well, the thing is that this supercut, which is probably about a minute long or a minute and a half at most, is the best they could do on the heels. And I don't know if you've seen this, but it just came out. You can't even bother to get clips from it. 2 hours and 50 minutes of Biden gaffes.
Yeah, yeah. Someone sent it to me. I went, no, I'm not going to watch that.
It's actually quite funny, but
I'm
it is. It's a feature length film.
Yeah. I don't have time for this in my life.
So here we go.
One of the great memories of all time, James Webb. I don't remember the names. Don't remember the name.
Viktor Orban. Anyone ever hear of him? He's the leader of Turkey. By the way, they never report the crowd on January 6th. You know, Nikki Haley is in charge of security. 3 years later, lady, how about that?
Did you actually have a one-on-one with Comey then?
Not much, not even that I remember.
I like mosquitoes.
We have languages coming into our country. We have nobody that even speaks those languages. They're truly foreign languages. Nobody speaks them. Saudi Arabia and Russia. Will we repeat you?
I have a really good memory. Your next wife was a woman by the name of Marla Maples.
That's right.
Do you recall what years you were married to Ms. Maples?
It's called like up here, and it's called memory, and it's called other things.
So you don't remember saying you have one of the best memories?
I don't remember that. And Putin, you know, has so little respect for Obama that he's starting to throw around the nuclear war, Terry. You've heard that, nuclear.
We have to win in November, or we're not going to have Pennsylvania
They'll change the name.
I talked to Putin a lot.
Did you ask him that? I don't remember that. I saw that this morning. I don't remember asking him that question.
I have a good memory and all that stuff, like a great memory. For 20 years, they were fighting ISIS. I defeated ISIS in 4 weeks.
And we did with Obama. We won an election that everyone said couldn't be won.
I'm not cognitively. And you know what? When I am, you're going to know it. You're going to be the first people. I know my people. You'll say, all right, Trump, you did a good job. Get the hell out of here. That's it.
That is a man who is incapable of avoiding criminal liability, a man who is wholly unfit for office, and a man who, at the very least, ought to think twice before accusing others of cognitive decline.
Wow. No wonder. This is you. These guys are trying to do television show. They should get their own streaming. Call it Congress Plus.
It would be great. So this goes out. This comes out. And so I catch this clip. This is a series of they're short, basically a minute or so. TikTok, some guy, and I don't know who he is, but he's one of those guys who's in the look at his face in the camera going on and on. And he goes off on a tirade about Trump being the stupidest guy in the history of the world. And I just thought it was worth clipping because it was funny. And let's listen to part of it. And you can stop me after one or two clips. But this is Trump is a dummy one.
The way we got in this situation is pretty simple to explain. Basically, when Nixon was discovered having committed Watergate, people thought the Republican Party was washed up. But a clever staffer on Nixon's White House came up with an idea for how to get more new Republican voters to replace all the people that were turned off by the corruption that had just been exposed and perhaps save the party. His name was Lee Atwater. And he said, God. I know where there's all kinds of disgruntled white people. All you got to do is appeal to them over their anger about the end of Jim Crow and about school desegregation and about the Civil Rights Act. And these are the words that you'll say to kind of trigger them. Then we call these the racist dog whistles. And you will send a message to them that they are welcome in the Republican Party. And starting in the mid-70s to the mid-80s, there was a massive change in voter registration from Democrat to Republican on the part of all of these racists and lowlifes and ignorant people. At the same time, Trump started to have political ambition.
Good setup. All right.
Now, a couple of things. One, this is a nonsense timeline.
Yeah.
And this is a plague right now because people don't take history. They don't do jack in school. The Lee Atwater was called a Southern strategy to get some of the disgruntled Democrat voters from the South, not necessarily for racist reasons, but for other reasons too. Get some of them into the Republican Party. It was called the Southern Strategy.
Yes.
It took place long before Watergate. It wasn't after Watergate to get to recover Republicans. It was before Watergate. That's how Nixon got in the first place and then had a landslide when he got reelected. Then Watergate came at the end of his term.
This is nonsense. This is similar to the TikTok guy saying the Jews want to get rid of TikTok. This is how stupid
exactly
it's become.
They
should want TikTok. Why would you want to get rid of something that makes people dumber and more controllable? It's beautiful. And it's not the Chinese doing it.
So here we go with part two, where we really get into the weeds.
Now, it turns out Trump has an IQ of about 73. He barely functions as an adult. If it were not for the fact that his father gave him a lot of money, he wouldn't be able to function as an adult. Trump has less money now than he would have had if he'd just taken the money he got from his father and put it in an index fund in the stock market and just let it sit. But he's gradually played around with it all these years and lost it in all his lawsuits and so forth, uh-huh, and his six bankruptcies. And he's dissipated a fortune over his lifetime. Now, he's had the Russians for the last 20 years to bail him out, but ordinary people cannot be as dumb as Trump and still function. But Trump came out onto the public stage and started talking boldly like he wanted to do things politically and help the people of America. And he speaks like a third grader, because that's what somebody with an IQ of 73 talks like, even if they're an adult. Linguists have analyzed his speech, and they've made it plain. He speaks English at a third grade level. This energized dumb people
because for the first time they could understand a presidential candidate.
Yes.
And they said things like, oh, he speaks his mind. He's the first guy that doesn't use a bunch of fancy words and confuse me. And now I finally understand what he's saying. And of course, what he was saying was a lot of things they wanted to hear. They were the racist dog whistles. And so you had a beautiful alliance from their perspective of racists and stupid people. The lower 12% of the IQ distribution corresponds perfectly to Trump's supporters. Now, these people are so intelligent that there's actually a federal statute that prohibits their induction into military service.
Okay, hold on a sec. So this mirrors, I went to get my hair done. As you know, 14 years ago, this one woman in Austin has been doing my hair. I'm loyal to her. And I don't mind once every 6 weeks driving to Austin. I get some drive time. And she is surrounded by Austin people. And even though she lives in Taylor, Texas, which is up north a bit, and she says that her clients and her friends and everyone around her, she said, because, you know, we talk about spun up. She says they're spun out. They are saying
spun out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Spun out.
And they're talking about leaving the country again. And she's like, oh, my God, really? Are we at this? Oh, yeah. Talking about leaving the country and Trump will cause mayhem. And I said, well, did you ask them if that happened the last time he was president? She says they can't even hear about it. And they're mad and they're on Facebook and they're yelling at the television and it's worse than ever. But this is what it comes down to. And in fact, these are the dumb people. And it has nothing to do with IQ points. It's just...
Well, ignorant is probably the word I'd use. And in fact, when this guy says stuff like, linguists have looked into his speech and confirmed that he speaks at a third grade level. Give me some examples. Fine, document this for me. I don't see it.
All right. But okay, fine. Now, does this get any better? Because it's drawing on a bit. Is he just going to... Is this basically just my hairdresser's neighbors that we're going to play here?
He also, what was the other thing he had said? 12, oh yeah, the lower 12% percentile of the public are match up the dummy, the big dummies.
Yes.
Match up with the...
people who aren't allowed to go into military service because you're too stupid.
Yeah. I would rather play it out, before you continue, there's a couple of comments. It's a little different than that. I think that this is an example of again, the mistake that Hillary made. And I think other people, there's no issues here. This is calling the voters and supporters of Trump out and insulting them.
Yeah.
This is not a strategy that would ever work in a million years. It works just the opposite.
But it's a dude on TikTok, John.
This guy's got a lot of followers, okay. And this got passed around quite a bit. This is a lot longer. I clipped this way back, but you will listen to part three.
Some time. Okay.
So they actually passed a law. You're not allowed to recruit and induct into military service the lowest 12% on the IQ range.
Wow. Whereas I'd say 90% of people in military are Trump supporters. This is really interesting.
But they're still allowed to vote, and Trump energized them. He made dumb people think that they finally understood politics. He made people strut around proud of themselves, thinking that they had a grasp of the issues, because they could tell on some level that Trump wasn't much smarter than they were, but there he was, a big shot. So he seemed like a champion for them. Now, of course, all these people forget that they aren't rich. They didn't have a dad hand them the equivalent of $412 million. And they can't do the things that Trump does, and they can't get away with the things Trump has gotten away with. And even Trump himself is not going to get away with them indefinitely. But
that's another thing. And she even said this, and I love her dearly. She says, he has like 40, 50 lawsuits. He can never be president. So the programming is working. And, you know, it's riling people up over here.
Oh, it gets through, too. It gets through to everybody.
Oh, yeah, it does.
It's just been set, and this is where we're at. Basically, we have a fanatical core of low-intelligence voters
who are podcasters
that are solidly behind Trump. They will back him no matter what he does or says because they don't care what he does or says. They just know he's their guy. They understand him. They like him. He talks to them in a way that they can comprehend, and they are fanatical in their support of him. He has given them what they see as dignity and strength. And then at the other end of the spectrum are smart people from all walks of life. I actually used to be a Republican myself. I'm ashamed to admit it now, but I know I'm not alone.
I mean,
millions of people who make sure that they turn out to vote against Trump used to be actual Republicans.
Now, a couple things. And then there's the last clip, and you can move on. But this kind of thing where I used to be a Republican, and now I'm ashamed to admit it. I used to be a Democrat. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I used to be a Republican. I'm not ashamed to admit it. That's bullcrap. You never, that's not, nothing you ever say.
I can't believe that they didn't replace Rush Limbaugh with you. That, I mean, what a misser. They really missed out on that.
I don't know if that's an insult and no. Why you're making it.
I don't know. Just all of a sudden, I'm like, you could go on for hours about this.
No, I can't. I can go on for as long as I'm going on, which is about 5 minutes, 10 minutes. We'll play Trump as a dummy for then. I do have the new an ad. I don't know. Have you seen the ad? Wow. The anti-Trump ad?
No.
Of ex-Republican voters?
No.
Oh, man, you're.
Do you have a clip? Over. Do you have a clip?
I do, but let's finish this first with Trump's a dummy for.
Because the Republican Party is now nothing but a loony bin of the very low intelligent. And there's just no way that you can be associated with them at all. So now it's going to be, you know, some range of conservative to liberal Democrats again, except that it'll mean something different than it used to mean. I mean, those Democrats won't be conservative because they're racist garbage people from the South. They'll be conservative because they have some other philosophy about the role of the market or of private enterprise or something like that. In the economy. At any rate, this is the problem we have. It's basically now just the very low intelligent versus the high intelligence.
Oh, there it is.
And the thing is going to be decided by undecided people who don't pay any attention. People in the middle that don't pay attention to politics, no matter whether the politicians are smart or dumb. They just show up on election day and try to do their best. Those are the people you have to reach. You have to get them interested. You have to explain to them what's going on. They have to be told Trump is a moron and he wants to be a dictator. And he's got a million morons behind him that want him to be a dictator. We cannot let that happen.
Only a million morons? Well, that's not going to win an election.
A million morons. There's a show title.
You need more than a million morons.
Well, you need more than a million morons. So meanwhile, If you follow the various Democrat Twitter accounts, this ad is coming up. This is going to do the trick.
Here it is.
this is going to do the trick because it's a bunch of ex-Republicans, of course. You know, they're like Lincoln Project guys, phonies.
Yeah.
Ex-Republicans, and this is the ex-Republicans complaining about Trump and why he should not be elected.
I'm a former Trump voter.
I voted for Donald Trump in 2016 and 2020.
In 2020, I voted for Trump again.
I will never support Donald Trump.
I will not vote for him in 2024.
He's got so much baggage.
Trump is the biggest threat to our democracy.
He kept denying.
And he lost the election.
Donald Trump was responsible for the violence of January 6th.
He could have prevented it.
Trump talking about retribution.
Retribution and going after people
is disrespect of our military.
The military people that he's disgraced.
91.
Criminal felonies.
4 different indictments.
He mishandled classified documents.
Taking documents.
Now his desire to do away with NATO.
Donald Trump talks about abandoning Ukraine.
He said he'll be a dictator on day one.
If he's going to be a dictator on day one, he's going to be a dictator, period.
That kind of stuff scares me.
Absolutely scares me.
A second Trump term would be worse than the first.
A second term for Trump
would be far more extreme.
It is dangerous, outright dangerous.
I cannot support Donald Trump again.
It never vote for him again.
He'll never get my vote, ever, ever.
You know, I have to say, I went to the vape shop, the conspiracy theory table. I mean, this little, we all hang out there. Everyone comes and hangs out. A lot of anti-Trump talk. I was surprised, you know, like, nah, he screwed it up. He can't do any good. And this is hardcore Fredericksburg, Texas. And you know what they're all talking about?
Bobby the K?
Bitcoin Bobby.
Bitcoin Bobby.
That's my new name. Yeah, they're saying, you know, we think he might be a good alternative. There's a lot of people on the left and the right talking about him. And, you know, I got to tell you, he's ramping up and he's got something to be in the news.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is running for president as an independent candidate, has revealed his potential running mates. You might recognize them. New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers and former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura top the list. Both men share Kennedy's affinity for embracing some debunked claims. Rodgers, like Kennedy, has spoken misleadingly about the harmful effects of the COVID-19 vaccines, while Ventura has peddled conspiracy theories about the 9/11 attacks.
So Bitcoin Bobby's playing this up. On the 28th, I believe, he will announce his vice presidential candidate. I have the odds. I have the odds
from the bookmakers. By the way, he's going to be making that announcement in Oakland.
Oh.
And nobody can figure out why.
Well, that's not where Rodgers played.
No, he played at Cal Berkeley. Yeah, he did, kind of.
And there's reasons people, I think people still have a bit of a Kennedy vibe. These are older people. So I'd say, 5 years older than I am, average, some a little bit older, some my age.
So the people in the smoke shop that you were at,
the vape shop,
were 60s?
No, they're Kathy and Jerry, they're 70. They just hit 70.
They're 70 and they've lost their mojo for Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, they're talking Bobby. But so are some of the ranchers, and they like that he's a Christian. They like that he overcame drugs. They like what he's saying about Bitcoin, of course. But so here are the odds for vice presidential candidate, running mate for Bitcoin Bobby. We have 1-to-1 odds for Aaron Rodgers. So that's
bull.
Also, follower Jesse Ventura, 2-to-1 odds. Then we go with 14-to-1 Marianne Williamson. So this is where I think the bookies are off their rocker.
That's for sure.
25-to-1 for Andrew Yang, followed with 33-to-1 magic number for Kanye West. And then it just gets nuts. I mean, we've got Matthew McConaughey, Tulsi Gabbard, Jerome Corsi, Jessica Biel, 75-to-1 odds. Rob Schneider.
James Cavill, the actor?
No, Jessica Biel.
Oh, Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Rob Schneider, 100-to-1. Rand Paul, he's at the bottom of the list, 125-to-1. Alex Jones, 150-to-1. Alicia Silverstone. Now they're just making stuff up. I did get a boots on the ground report about your girl who you were so enamored by. Oh, she's young. She looks great. Katie Britt, which also in the vape shop, that was horrible. Was she barefoot?
That's a good one.
So boots on the ground from my man there in Alabama. She was handpicked, Katie Britt, by Richard Shelby. She was his longtime aide. And he, of course, was Alabama senator from 86 to 2022. And now she's the senator. So she was handpicked. He was the head of the Senate Appropriations Committee. So he's one of the most powerful senators, directing millions to the military industrial complex through North Alabama, the NASA, Air Force, military aerospace companies. She's married to a former University of Alabama offensive lineman from Saban's national championship team, which in Alabama is like being married to the Pope. We elect people here based on military industrial complex money, football, and abortion. She ticks every box. Zero chance she ever leaves the Senate for the executive branch. She will make millions of dollars as a Senate lifer. And I think there's something to that. So she's not going to be any vice presidential nominee for Trump. And then something very interesting crossed my desk. One of our producers is working on a special for when we take a day off, when we take about 2 days a year off. And he's doing a Red Book special, which is very difficult to do, to find Red Book entries.
Yes, this is what we've talked about this.
Yeah, so he thinks...
Okay, go on.
Well, he thinks he can do 2 hours, which I'm astounded. He says there's some that are spot on.
Go back, which is 16 years of, predictions.
Just so you know, we have transcripts of every show available through Bingit.io. So when someone's emails me like this morning, this Trump 2025 plan, everyone's talking about it. You need to dissect it. And I just go, let me send you a link, which we did months ago. which is why people should be listening to the No Agenda Show, because you're prepared for when it really hits big. Then you already know what's going on. But people, I don't know, sometimes, oh, I didn't listen. So he went back and he found a Red Book entry from episode 512. We're now at 1642. This is May 12th, 2013. Listen to this Red Book entry.
I had a real dream last night, and I woke up from this. Put this in the Red Book just for yucks.
All right.
And it was vivid, okay? It was vivid, and maybe because we've played a couple of clips of him recently. I've been watching video of him. Are you ready for this? Joe Biden was president. Exactly. And he sucked. It was like a takeover, and he was off his rocker, and he was just like insane. Well, there's a lot of people.
I think we can call that a successful Red Book entry.
That was good.
I'm from so the future.
We have to just short stop for a second and do a reconnaissance here. So you're in the vape shop talking to these guys.
We're back to the vape shop. Yeah, of course. Yes, I'm in the vape shop.
So you're back on vaping? You're back vapor? You stopped all that stuff.
No. I'm allowed to vape. I have not smoked any marijuana product or any tobacco product or anything.
What are you vaping then? Steam?
Yeah, basically. It has 0.3% nicotine, so I get my little hit there. But no, I quit cold turkey and I've not smoked, and this has been 16 months now. Yeah. But vaping helped me stop. That's the whole point. It's the process of sticking something in your mouth and sucking on it.
Well, you could, there's other things you could do.
Yeah, there it is. I left it open for you. I left it wide open for you. Yeah. No, so I stopped, and I don't believe that vaping is harmful to you. It's organic juice. It's not made in China. It's not made in some big factory. That's what Kathy and Jerry put the vape shop together to help people stop smoking, because they're hippies. That's the whole point. That's why they did it.
Just checking.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I think I've had maybe in that whole period, maybe three weed gummies, and... Yeah, it just didn't do it for me. And I told you, I also dream now. I dream all kinds of crazy. I never used to dream. When I could take a 50 milligram.
No, you used to dream?
No.
You yourself just played a clip.
that was
about you dreaming.
Yeah, but I don't think I was as heavy a weed smoker then as I was in the last 5 years. I think I was wake and bake. I was smoking all the time, dude. So
interesting. Okay. Well, just checking.
Yeah. No, I'm good.
Looking out for you.
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm just looking out for you, condemning you for your.
You can't condemn me.
I'm condemning you.
Good. Go ahead. Try. Hey, speaking of TikTok. Oh, man. I mean, this came across my my algo told me to be very worried about this. I'd not heard this this term, but apparently a lot of teachers. Certainly those who are of the female persuasion and on TikTok, they're on drugs.
Why does every teacher have to take anti-sad pills? Real talk. During my student teaching, which was 3 years ago now, I started taking anti-sad pills for the very, very first time.
Have you ever heard this term, anti-sad pills?
This is the first time I've heard anti-sad pill.
Yeah. Well, this is...
This is talking at a third grade level. She must be a third grade teacher.
Because mentally, it was so much. My anxiety could not take it. I had to wake up at like 6 a.m. That's hard, guys. Okay, let's just call it what it is. Teach all day. Then I had like practice and I still had school, meetings, blah, 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 blah. So I had blah, 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 blah. Then I weaned myself off in the summer because I felt better. I was like, oh. And then as soon as the first year of teaching started, oh my God, I needed those babies stronger than ever. I cried literally, I think, most days of my first year of teaching. It was terrible. I was gaslit all day. I didn't know what to do. The kids taught me, basically. They were like, okay, yep, this is what we're doing today. Nothing. okay. Anyways, started taking them last year. Hey, then this year, teacher. I was like, panic attacks awful. I was not doing well because I didn't fully commit to like leaving teaching yet. So
I mean, this is what you get when you allow people like Mark Cuban and Amazon to do telemedicine. People, you know, you can get Prozac for $9 a 3-month supply as a new time customer of Amazon. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
I mean, this is...
Seems like a good deal.
It's a great deal, but it's not good. This is not what we want for our... I mean, this is just not good. So, well, maybe the Republicans are morons. The lefties, they're druggies, man. They're druggies. The teachers are all drugged out.
This woman needs to go to the... Well, you know, once they open all these mental health institutes, it might help.
So there's a report that has resurfaced from 2015, which is very interesting. And I think the Daily Mail had the headline, "Chewing gum for 30 minutes has similar appetite curbing effects to Ozempic." And so I go and let me see, where's this report from? It's an old report, 2015. It's from the National Library of Medicine, PubMed, so that's official. "The effect of gum chewing on blood GLP-1 concentration in healthy non-obese men." So it's non-obese men. But it says, among...
Well, you're non-obese if you keep... Because if the chewing the gum works, then you wouldn't be obese.
"Healthy men in a fasting state... chewing sugarless gum can increase satiety with no effect on blood glucose and can decrease the decline of GLP-1 concentration. Chewing gum has no significant effect on blood insulin and GIP concentration. The present study suggests that chewing sugarless gum may be an economical and effective method to help obesity patients control their energy intake and decrease weight with no changes in calorie intake. Although there are different opinions about the benefit of chewing gum, or our study showed positive results, it is worth conducting a large-scale clinical research study to verify the effectiveness of this method." And I thought to myself, exit strategy. No agenda, deathbound gum. I'm telling you, we can put we could get a snappy jingle. We got to have a better name, obviously. But we could sell gum that helps you lose weight as effective as Ozempic. We can even say it's as effective as Ozempic.
According to research.
According to research. It's safe and effective. I mean, this could be a bonanza for us.
Whatever happened to gum chewing? You know, they've backed off. And for example, when I was a kid, they used to promote dentine gum because it would have some sort of stickiness to it. It would clean your teeth as you chewed.
Brush your breath.
It seems
brush
like a your positive
breath,
thing.
Brush your breath with dentine.
And then there was it's chloro something gum. It was a green gum that had chlorophyll in it. It kept you from having bad breath. And that was a very popular gum. Remember that gum, the green gum?
Hold on a second. Chew World Order is suggested as a brand name. I like that.
Chew World Order. So does anyone in the room remember the chlor something gum that was this green stuff that was it was pleasant? And people were chewing gum all the time.
We could have mac and cheese flavor. It's endless possibilities, John. Trident.
Well, I'm just wondering. My point was that you're completely ignoring because you're vaped up.
Trident. I'm telling you the name of the gum, Trident.
No, it was not Trident. Trident's the latter. It came later. Trident's a gum you can get today. This other gum, Chloro something, which was a green Pez-like gum, is no longer available. I haven't seen it for years.
Xylitol?
No. Xylitol is a sugar substitute.
Right. I don't remember what the one you're talking about.
Well, I would think somebody in
Clorets.
Clorets. There you go. Somebody's got a clue.
Yeah.
Chorus. Thank that person in the troll room.
That person is Anon 756051.
Okay.
Web troll.
Wherever you were. Too lazy to change your Anon to something.
But seriously, I mean, I don't want to pass up this dynamite opportunity for us.
Yeah, I think going into the chewing gum business is just we're chewing away anyway as we chat.
Yeah. But it could help you lose weight.
Yeah. Well, I think people should get back to... Nobody chews gum anymore.
Why is that? They probably didn't want us to chew it because they knew they were coming out with Ozempic.
Oh, now you're talking. Uh-huh. Now your second half of show is theremin. That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They got rid of it because of its health benefits. We can't have that. I like Chew World Order, now available in mac and cheese flavor. Anyway,
we're not doing mac and cheese gum.
Here's the Amazon thing.
People who use the weight loss drug Zepbound may now have it available to order on Amazon. Manufacturer Eli Lilly is actually partnering with the e-commerce giant to help patients receive free and fast delivery of medications, as well as 24/7 access to pharmacists. Now, it's all part of Eli Lilly's new Eli Direct program. Back in November, the FDA actually approved Zepbound as a weight loss treatment.
See? The Amazon. Boom. I had to deliver it right to your house. You talk
this
to
it. This is disgusting what you just played.
Yeah. This is where it's headed.
Yeah, this is our medical system that's currently in play.
Which is why...
You don't care.
Which is why I think we need to get on the train. No agenda. No agenda. No weight gain. All healthy. Chew World Order.
Gum.
Gum. Gum. We'll just call it gum. To double M, gum. Anyway. I got excited. You're not as excited as I am. I got excited by the idea of, I think this is a great find.
I'll look into the processing and who can make the gum for us and distribution issues. Yeah.
Freddy the Firewall gum. And there's all kinds of ideas. We can have it for kids. We need it for kids, actually. Kids, lose weight. Hey, you fatty, lose weight. John, Uncle John and Adam says it's great. I mean, yeah, it writes itself.
Sell it on the show.
It writes, yeah, no, we'll have to sell it on the show. That's how we exit.
So anyway, where do you want to go here?
I want to finish up. I have a couple more, two more things on Biden because, he said a big boo-boo. And
he did?
Yeah, he did. That's, he said
shocking.
He said illegal. He said illegal about the illegal.
Oh yeah. That was a big that carried over the weekend. We covered that on Sunday.
Yes, MSNBC, Jonathan Capehart, your boy.
Mr. President,
I shouldn't have said that. Your guy.
Mr. President, it's great to see you again. Thank you
good
for
to
doing
see you.
This. So that was one hell of a speech you gave Thursday night.
Yeah.
I'm gonna touch on three specific areas there. The first one being, I noticed the look of surprise on your face when you walked into the chamber and you saw Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was priceless. You feigned shock at seeing her. But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that his the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing, we have to control the border and more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
These people built our country. In case you didn't know that. Well, this
Capehart went out of his way to say he's shaming him.
Yes. Yeah. Because he wants Trump
to
win. He's
shaming him on the spot, saying, you regrets using the word illegal. We don't allow that here at the Washington Post, where I work. Yeah. We can't say that. It's newcomers, what he wanted to say.
Here's the follow up.
And Brendan, we also heard President Biden saying and owning the fact that he made a mistake by using the word illegal.
He owns it.
Saying that he regrets using that term, but already the Trump camp responded. responding to Capehart's, Jonathan Capehart's interview of President Biden, saying, quote, that Biden is tone deaf for walking back his use of the word illegal. Your thoughts about whether or not it made sense for President Biden to own up to what he said?
It might make sense given where the president is politically within his own party. I think that it was a huge mistake to walk that back right now, honestly. It just shows incredible weakness. Let's understand the context here. This is a person who killed an innocent 22-year-old woman who was out for a jog. The president here just said the person was undocumented. They weren't undocumented. They had actually been arrested several times. We knew that he was good in point. The country and had been arrested for other things. This should have been a moment where he could have stood up to his own party and said, look, I regret saying illegal. I should have said something worse about this person. And I think this is going to be used against him significantly. I understand the politics on the left about language and immigration. I totally get it. I understand why he did this. But I thought that was actually a great moment in the State of the Union where he sort of reminded people why people in the middle elected him in the first place, that he is sort of a middle of the road Democrat, not owned by the activist left. And I think it's really disappointing that he couldn't use stronger words for someone who just killed an innocent woman.
Whoa. MSNBC, who knew?
That's weird.
Hey, maybe we can get in on the climate change if we use like cricket flour and we'll say that this by chewing this gum, you fight climate change and obesity.
I don't want cricket powder in my gum.
No. Think marketing, man.
So we go back to these insults here. Did you see Nancy Mace on the Stephanopoulos show where he's...
I heard about it. No, I only heard about it. She was shaming the rape victim.
I have the clip, and I'm going to preface with what you're going to hear. Nancy Mace was a rape victim, and Stephanopoulos brought her on the show for, I don't know why. I think to get her to not like Trump, because Trump was found guilty in the civil court of sexual whatever he did to that crazy hippie woman, whose name is eluding
Carol,
me.
Jean E. Carroll.
So yes. He's going to bring her on, and he's starting to, and she throws back at him that as far as she's concerned, he is shaming her. And that point, because we should believe women.
Now, who is Nancy Mace again?
Nancy Mace is that kind of, she's a kind of the attractive congresswoman. Shriver look. She's got the big jaw.
Oh, yeah. Sharp face. Maria Shriver.
Face.
Sharp
yeah.
face. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. That woman that was married to Schwarzenegger.
Now, why was she even on Stephanopoulos?
For this reason. So he could grill her and then say, well, you're a victim of rape. You know, how can you support Trump? That was the basis.
Yeah.
She called him out on it. He wouldn't give in. And I have the clip. And it goes on forever. He never apologizes, never acknowledges anything. He just keeps grilling her. This is the most, I think this should be the end of this guy.
And you've endorsed Donald Trump for president. Judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square your endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw?
Well, I will tell you, I was raped at the age of 16. And any rape victim will tell you, I've lived for 30 years with an incredible amount of shame over being raped. I didn't come forward because of that judgment and shame that I felt. And it's a shame that you will never feel, George, and I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not going to do that.
It's actually not about shaming you. It's a question about Donald
Trump.
No,
you are shaming me.
You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court case, number one. Number two, I live with shame. And you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim, and I find it disgusting. And quite frankly, E. Jean Carroll's comments when she did get the judgment, joking about what she was going to buy, it makes it harder for women to come forward when they make a mockery out of rape, when they joke about it.
Doesn't it make it harder for women to come forward when they...
It makes it harder when other women joke about it, and she's joked about it. I find it offensive. And I also find it offensive that you're trying to shame me with this question.
I'm not trying to shame
you.
In fact, I
have dealt with this for 30 years.
Wow. Okay, I got it.
It was a civil court. And by the way, she joked about the judgment and what she was going to do with all that money. And I find that offensive.
I'm asking you
but
about
as
the
a rape victim who's been shamed for years now because of her rape, you're trying to shame me again by asking me this political question.
You've repeated that again.
I think it's offensive. As a woman, I find it offensive.
I'm asking my political.
Wow, I had not seen that clip.
It was unbelievable. He just would not let up, and he wouldn't apologize. It was very offensive to her, and she kept saying, get off the track. I guess he had nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
It was very strange to watch.
I saw several women respond to it online saying, Stephanopoulos, man, you're out of control. But this is all part of branding Trump as a rapist, even though the jury did not say that, as far as I know.
No, they didn't. She makes that point throughout thing, especially during that 10 minutes that I sped up.
Yeah. Can I throw a few names at you? Slender Mint.
Who?
Slender Mint.
You're back on the gum thing.
Weight-wise? I'm just coming up with some ideas here, man.
The first one, Slender Mint, I love.
You like Slender Mint? Yeah. Slimming Sensation? No, I think Slender Mint. Yeah, I'm just working on it. Trim Taste? I'll keep working on it. I'm serious. I think there's something here.
It's doable.
Yeah, I mean, it's just gum. I mean, any factory could make gum. When I was a kid, there was a Wrigley's factory. I think they mainly made like the really cheap spearmint or something that came in a little package. The
double mint?
No. It was like Chiclets. It was in Europe, in Holland.
Oh, in Europe.
And they used to throw irregular stuff out in the back. And then we'd go and get that bags full of it. And we sell it at school. It was great.
Yeah, that was a very smart thing. That reminds me of the story I've told it before about when I was an inspector and I was at the mother's cookie factory. And so which is, by the way, if you can ever get into one of these cookie factories or any place where they're making this stuff and you can get it fresh right out of the oven, it's like unbelievable. So we're finishing up the tour with the foreman. And there's a bunch of cookies going by, and there's the final inspection before they go into the packaging arena. And there's all these people with the little thing on their over their head, kind of a plastic like hat, and they're pulling out broken cookies and throwing them over their shoulders into a giant bin.
Yeah.
And so I said, "Wow!" I said, what are those giant bin of cookies? What do they do with it? Do they give them to feed lots, or they just feed them to cows? I mean, what they must do something with these
just toss them
busted
off.
Cookies. The guy says, no. He says, there's a guy in Los Angeles that buys them from us by the ton, packages them in cellophane and puts them in vending machines. And when the person gets the cookies are from the vending machines, they figure they got broken in the machine when they fell to the bottom. And I said, oh my God, that is a genius idea. And that's what you just described.
Yeah. We used to sell it. It was great. It was good for, and then they caught on to us like, Hey
kids, get out of the bin.
Exactly. I'm going to set you up. I know you have a 3x3. And I think that if you go back and look at the Red Book, throughout the history of the show, we have talked many times about the several big rivalries, CIA, FBI, CIA, DIA. By the way, thank you to our producer there who has sent me the DIA sweatshirt straight from the store at headquarters. That's very cool. Defense Intelligence Agency. I love that sweatshirt. But also Boeing versus Airbus. And it sure seems like Boeing's on the losing side right now.
New concerns about quality control at Boeing. The New York Times reports the company has failed 33 of the 89 audits the FAA conducted 33. After a door panel blew off in mid-flight on this Alaska Airlines plane in January. Investigators later found four bolts were missing.
Following the incident, the FAA took immediate action to increase its oversight activities, and we will continue to put safety first.
The FAA also conducted 13 audits of Boeing supplier Spirit AeroSystems. Seven reportedly resulted in a failing grade. The Times say documents show the FAA observed mechanics at Spirit using a hotel key card to check a door seal, and Spirit mechanics applied Dawn soap to a door seal as lubricant. Boeing responding overnight saying, "We continue to implement immediate changes and develop a comprehensive action plan to strengthen safety and quality with transparency at every turn." Spirit says they'll address the issue and continue efforts to improve safety with the goal of zero defects. And safety officials around the world are looking into the terrifying incident yesterday where 50 passengers were injured on a Boeing 787 Dreamliner over Australia. The airline saying the plane experienced a strong shake and blames a technical event for the dramatic loss of altitude. Meanwhile, a Boeing whistleblower was found dead Friday after an apparent suicide. The body of 62-year-old John Barnett, a longtime Boeing employee and quality manager, was found in Charleston, South Carolina, where he was being questioned in a case against Boeing. Barnett raised concerns about production standards, telling the BBC in 2019 that workers deliberately used faulty parts. Boeing denied his claims.
Well, is that a setup or what?
Yeah, this is interesting. This is getting more interesting by the minute.
All right, let me play the jingle.
And now it's time for 3x3.
Woohoo!
Experiment by JC Dean.
What are we doing?
Comparing stories from ABC, CBS, and NBC. The never ending
story. That's right, we took the story of the day, the big news. John takes a look at all of the different headline news stories from the big three networks and rolls them out in a 3x3 so we can compare and see if they get the news from the same place, if there's a narrative, or what is going on in your news media controlled world.
So let's start with ABC.
Tonight, a Boeing whistleblower now dead from an apparent suicide only days after his lawyer says he'd been deposed. John Barnett worked for Boeing for 32 years and was involved in a lawsuit alleging serious safety concerns with the 787 Dreamliner and retaliation from the company. His lawyers say Barnett was in very good spirits and we didn't see any indication he would take his own life. But police in South Carolina say he died Saturday from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. His body found inside a car in a hotel parking lot. In January, just weeks after a door plug flew off an Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 MAX 9, Barnett spoke with TMZ Live.
What we're seeing with the door plug blowout is what I've seen with the rest of the airplane. As far as jobs not being completed properly, inspection steps being removed, issues being ignored.
Since that incident, a six-week FAA review of the Boeing production line has raised new concerns. The New York Times reporting Boeing failed 33 of 89 audits, and Boeing supplier Spirit AeroSystems, which builds the 737 MAX fuselage, failed more than half of its 13 audits.
As difficult and as painful these inspections are for Boeing, they will help them get back to basics to be able to begin to earn the trust of the FAA and the flying public.
David, Boeing says they are saddened by John Barnett's passing, but his attorneys say they're shocked.
Oh, yeah.
They're calling for a full police investigation into his death.
Now, just as an aside, I mean, let's just say that this is a corporate battle. I mean, and you know, and Airbus Industries and Boeing don't just make passenger jets. They make a lot of other stuff, war stuff mainly. So that's not to be underestimated. Especially when a lot of big contracts are coming up for China, you know, to make Boeing look extra bad by killing some dude. And by the way, adding to hot tubs and small aircraft, eating lunch in your pickup truck is now a bad idea. If you're in a court case. You mean, what's it to them to kill a guy?
You're right in the middle of your biting a sandwich. You know, I think I'm going to shoot myself right here in the middle of this meal.
I wouldn't put it past them. This is in the world of big business. This is nothing.
There's billions of dollars involved and big bonuses.
Hundreds of billions. Yeah, and big
and
bonuses.
Big bonuses for the executives. They're making way too much money.
It was a meal to die for, I tell you. It was so good, that sandwich. Sorry.
Well, ABC, so ABC sets it up so they start with the suicide as the lead.
Oh, yeah.
And then they move on to the details. And I thought that was a very interesting structure.
The 33 is annoying. I mean, there's too much.
The 33 is annoying. So NBC, here we go.
The focus for investigators, that terrifying nosedive off New Zealand that injured dozens. Passengers say the LATAM pilot claimed he suddenly lost control of the Boeing 787 when the flight data computers went dark. In 2016, the FAA issued an airworthiness directive for the 787, warning that if the flight control computers are not reset every 22 days, they could shut themselves down, which could result in flight controls that don't respond and a temporary loss of controllability. Meanwhile, 2 months since that mid-air MAX 9 emergency, sources close to the investigation say Boeing has failed 33 of 89 FAA audits. The FAA confirming it identified non-compliance issues in Boeing's manufacturing process control, parts handling and storage, and product control. In an email, Boeing's chief of commercial planes today called on every employee to precisely follow every step of our manufacturing procedures and processes. While in South Carolina, a coroner says former Boeing whistleblower John Barnett took his own life before his upcoming trial against the company. In 2019, Barnett told NBC News Boeing was putting profits ahead of safety.
From day one, it's just all been about schedule and hurry up and just get it done, push the planes out.
In a statement, Boeing says we are saddened by Mr. Barnett's passing and our thoughts are with his family and friends. Under intense scrutiny, the company today called on every employee to be on the lookout for safety or quality issues and speak up.
I'm impressed by this report. I've been obviously looking at this LATAM airliner 777 issue. Was it 787 or 777? Doesn't matter.
It was the 87.
Nothing more scary in a fly-by-wire type situation, you know, where you barely have any steam gauges anymore. If you, all of your instrumentation goes out, and let's just say that you're, you know, that means autopilot, because they're clearly in autopilot mode at that moment. If everything shuts off, your servos, all that, and the plane is out of trim, I mean, you could immediately see that drop. But then it's a little suspicious. But, oh, it went off and came back on. These things take time to boot up. It's at least 20 to 30 seconds. But then I hear, and this was new, that you've got to jiggle the handle every 21 days. What is this?
Reminds me of, you know, memory, whatever, like memory leaks and all these things on regular PCs where you, hey, or rebooting the router. If you remember, we were doing that a lot on this show.
I got buffer bloat.
I've got to reboot the router. Oh, and it works fine now. What was going on that it wasn't working? You know, the router's going every day, and then all of a sudden, you got to reboot. You should reboot. And you always said that. Reboot the router.
Yeah, and sometimes.
Reboot the router. Why?
And sometimes it helped. It was buffer bloat.
No, it was helping every time.
Yeah, buffer bloat. But this.
Do you know that's what it was?
Yeah, that's what we called it, buffer bloat.
That's what we called it. We don't know what it was.
No, well, we weren't flying a 787, okay? The show is important, but not that important. So, you know, it clearly. This is
the kind of coding we have nowadays. Learn to code. Everything's JavaScript. It's not even coding.
It's some kid who builds a
no one knows Minecraft, how to code anymore.
Minecraft.
Really?
Oh, I have a clip about that in a moment. Actually, I have a clip. I have a clip for you. I won't play it.
Well, before we do that, let's listen to CBS's version of the same report, and they usually have the most reliable versions.
After the dramatic mid-air blowout of a door panel in January, the FAA launched an audit of Boeing 737 production process. Boeing failed 33 of 89 sections, including one dealing with the same type of door panel. The FAA also found 97 incidents of alleged non-compliance. The most common was failing to follow Boeing's own standards and practices. The audit comes as Boeing admitted to lawmakers last week it cannot find paperwork documenting repairs performed on that Alaska Airlines door panel, saying it is likely that it was never created. The NTSB investigation indicates the bolts holding that door in place were not reinstalled. FAA also looked at supplier Spirit Aerosystems, which makes the body of the 737 MAX. The company failed 7 of 13 sections of that audit. Inspectors flagged workers using a hotel key card to check a door seal and Dawn dish soap as a lubricant.
Well, Boeing is declining to comment on this DOJ investigation, but if investigators were to find wrongdoing, Boeing could potentially face criminal charges, and they're already facing a number of lawsuits from that Alaska Airlines incident, one seeking $1 billion, Nora.
Chris, I also want to ask you about this Boeing whistleblower that was found dead in his car. What do we know about that?
Yeah, John Barnett was set to sit for a deposition in a defamation case he had brought against Boeing when he was found dead in his truck. The coroner in South Carolina says it appears to be due to a self-inflicted gunshot wound. His attorneys are calling on the local police to fully investigate what happened, Nora.
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten the Dawn dish soap. That is beautiful. By the way, Dawn dish soap is used around Hill Country for a number of things.
I can see that. It's a very amazing surfactant.
It's an amazing product. We use, if you mix it with distilled white vinegar and some, what's the stuff you throw in the bathtub? The salt, the
Epsom salt.
Epsom salt. Yeah, if you mix that, it is a fantastic weed killer. So you don't get, you know, you don't get your glyphosate, you know, leaking into your into the ground. Oh, it's everyone uses it here. And a Dawn dish soap just by itself, diluted with a little bit of white vinegar, distilled white vinegar. You pour that into the red ant hill, kills them. Which is a very good way.
Red ant hill?
Oh my God, we have red ants around here for in the summer. Yeah, and you do not. Repeat, do not want to step on a red anthill.
I wouldn't think so.
But
aren't they high up in the air?
Fire ants. I'm sorry, not red ants. Fire ants.
Well, that's a different ant.
Yes, I'm sorry. The fire ant. I said red ant.
Don't they make big hills? You can pretty hard to step on one.
No, I mean if you're not looking, I mean they're everywhere. You could be standing in one, and all of a sudden. Uh-oh. And then if they're climbing up your ankle, they'll bite you right away. And those things,
why they're called fire ants.
They scar. I mean, I have scarring on my hand from one time. I put my, at a cocktail glass, and I put it down on the ground, and we're chatting away. Da, 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 and I hadn't seen that all these fire ants had walked up onto my glass because there was sugary stuff in it. I pick it up, and all of a sudden they're on my hand, and I brush them off, and they'd already beat me. I still have scars. From the fire ant bites.
Wow.
Yeah. It's, anyway, so Dawn soap. Another thing, if you've got red wasps, you can just put it into a spray bottle, and you can put it on stream, and you can just sit there and just zap them from a distance. Don't you have to get
you
up.
You have red wasps?
Yes. Yes.
What's a red wasp?
You do not want to mess with the red wasp.
Sounds like you're living in Australia.
Hey, man, it's the Hill Country, baby. You don't mess around. Anyway, I think this is industrial warfare. And they're just going, now they're just hitting Boeing as hard as they can. There's got to be, I mean, there's big contracts at play here. And, you know, they've got hidden camera footage of Boeing employees saying, I wouldn't fly on those planes. No, we do drugs. We do coke. We go out in the parking lot and smoke some weed at lunch. Have you seen those?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I saw a video of this John Barnett. He did not look like a guy ready to kill himself. I mean, he seems pretty together.
If you were the Eurobus people.
The Airbus Eurobus.
Yeah, the Eurobus guys.
The Eurobus.
Wouldn't it be cool that you'd be the guys to send the hitman out?
Yes, it's great.
Make even worse.
At first I was thinking, you know, it could be really stressful, a lawsuit, you know, especially if you're fighting a big corporation. But then I saw the guy, and I saw him talk. I'm like, no. This guy was killed. This guy was killed. It's horrible. But it's on, man. It's on. They're out to ruin Boeing, and Boeing's not doing itself any favors.
What did Boeing do to them recently that caused this war?
Well, they have more. It's
military. Can we think of anything?
I can only think of military contracts. It's all military stuff. It's just all military. That's all they only care. I mean, yeah, I mean, where does Boeing really make its money? It's not just in passenger aircraft. That's a big part of it, but that's not all. I mean, don't they make jets too? They must provide something for jets.
They make a lot of military gear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but I still think that the bulk of their cash is made with the big jets.
Well, it's going to end because
77, 87.
We know from our Navy guys who are retiring, like, I'm training for Airbus. I'm not going to train for Boeing. I'm training for Airbuses, which is crazy because they're plastic airplanes.
Well, so is the 87.
Yeah, well, there you go. But the 87 reboots.
It reboots out of the blue. By the way, only one report had that.
And that was that detail. I had not heard that. That was very interesting that you have to reset it. You have to reboot it every 21 days. Come on. That's pathetic.
It's like restarting the router. It's dumb.
I wonder what... They don't have Garmin, do they? They don't have Garmin. Let me see. 787 avionics. Let me see. I'm sure you can get different packages, but...
Yeah, you can probably order various packages.
Rockwell Collins.
Rockwell Collins.
Yeah. The Rockwell Collins. Yeah, it looks like they all have Rockwell Collins. It must be owned by some bigger company. But it's all military guys.
Yeah, I think Rockwell owns it. I think Rockwell is a publicly traded big company.
I mean, that's not cool. And you can get Collins Aviation gear in your GA aircraft. This is not good. This is not good at all. Anyway, I wanted to talk for a second about programmers because stand by, everybody. Get ready to leave us. It's an Africa report. Oh, no. But I've slyly combined Africa with an artificial intelligence report.
AI tools like ChatGPT work almost like magic, but there's no quick trick for building them. Thousands of workers, like Richard, have spent months filtering toxic content out of the data used to train OpenAI. After reviewing scenes of child abuse and bestiality, he's been left traumatized. It's difficult work, and AI subcontractor employees are paid less than €1 an hour. Richard ended up quitting. Richard and three other moderators decided it was time for change. They filed a petition in Parliament with the help of this lawyer. She believes they must act fast, as a growing number of companies set up in Nairobi. They're attracted by Kenyans' fluency in English and their quality education. In this school, children are learning how to code. Today's class is on self-driving cars. A growing number of Kenyan children are learning digital skills. The young company DigiFunzi now offers this course in 10 different schools. Innovators that hope to climb the ladder and become the brains behind the technologies of tomorrow, not just the cogs in an American machine.
That's right. So you thought you were going to lose your job to AI? You're losing your job to a Nigerian. Some Nigerian school kid is programming your Rockwell Collins avionics.
Well, now I should mention this. Rockwell Collins, just so we know, so we don't have to get anybody's letters. The company was acquired by United Technologies in 2018 and now operates as part of Collins Aerospace, a subsidiary of the RTX Corporation, formerly Raytheon. It all boils down to Raytheon.
Yeah, it always does. Meanwhile, speaking of AI, we have a new bill called the Defiance Act. This may be part of the Swift op setup.
I know we're all a little just distraught about the situation. We don't know how to handle it.
Stevie Hyder, a sophomore at Richmond Burton High School, found out Tuesday there were disturbing photos of her circulating.
I felt really violated, and it was just really gross to see it.
This was the picture a fellow student is accused of altering using AI technology, using her face but swapping a nude body.
A lot of them were just like photos with friends from like birthday party outings. There was a lot of homecoming and prom.
In this context, there's definitely a need for
quick action. The potential for harm is great.
In the world of AI, there are video and photo swapping apps that have come under fire, where a user can even crop someone's face into an adult video, creating pornographic images of people without their consent. At the federal level, Congress is currently considering legislation called the Defiance Act that would better regulate the AI world and deep fakes.
And this is really disturbing to their entire careers, moving forward in life, college applications they're worried about. They're worried about what if they do something professionally in the future and these images surface. That's really scary for them.
It can take a psychological toll on victims. Since the technology is so new, the law isn't clear cut. If a fake body attached to a minor's photo is considered illegal.
To me, it falls right into child pornography, and that's exactly, in my opinion, what it is. I think it's creating it. I think it's distributing it. I think that it should be, you know, charged accordingly, in my opinion.
So the Defiance Act is an act from Durbin, Graham, Klobuchar, Hawley, and an act to hold accountable those responsible for the proliferation of non-consensual, sexually explicit, deepfake images and videos. How about this? How about you tell your kids not to put stuff online? How about that? You know, how about some education here? Just don't post stuff. This, you can't legislate this.
Well, it all will lead to identification. That's what has to be in these bills.
Ah, well, this is what I keep telling you. That is the end game. Is always going to be ID to have an account.
Yeah.
Huh? You keep.
It's going to take decades. There's still too many workarounds.
No, there's workarounds. I didn't say it would work. This is why I don't understand why we're not on the same page with this. Just because it doesn't work doesn't mean that we won't have the legislation. They love to have everybody have an ID. E-identify, all this stuff. They want it. They love it. Yes, we need more of that. No, I don't understand why you keep saying there's workarounds. Of course there's workarounds.
Well, you don't understand why I'm saying it?
No, I don't, because I'm not looking for a fix. I'm looking for the government to do something evil. They just want to have us all.
But why can't I say that there's workarounds? It offends you so much.
Because you yourself was the guy, you were doing a big expose, a big write-up about digital ID, and then it just went away, and you keep saying there's workarounds. I thought that you were writing a book about it.
What?
You're not writing a book about it? I thought you were writing a
Another
book about
vivid
it.
Vivid dream.
It was
put in the red book.
It was very vivid, man. It was super vivid. Yeah. Yes. By the way.
Well, since you're talking about software, you might as well go to the big boys, the guys who know what they're doing with software, and let's play the ransomware clips.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is getting better.
The healthcare industry is still struggling to overcome a February cyber attack that hit the IT company Change Healthcare. The group behind the attack is part of a professionalized ecosystem that profits off companies' digital security failings. NPR's Jenna McLaughlin reports.
On Wednesday, February 21st, a relatively unknown IT company called Change Healthcare announced it was the victim of a cyber attack. The group of hackers behind it, who go by the name Black Cat, demanded a ransom of $22 million to return the company's data. The hack was devastating. While Change Healthcare isn't a household name, it plays a central role in verifying and processing payments between insurance companies and providers. Right now, according to a source with knowledge of the situation, the company is still struggling to bring basic functionalities back online. Publicly, Change Healthcare has said it hopes to start restoring those services next week. The response is ongoing, but the breach provides a window into how these criminal ransomware gangs operate.
Who is this breathy lady?
I believe it's some NPR reporter, and she likes to speak like...
I find the reporting very poor. I mean, we have no idea how much. I mean, is it still locked up?
$22 million, it said right in that part.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But they didn't say it was Bitcoin. She missed all these opportunities.
Well, who cares? $22 million is $22 million.
But why don't they pay it?
Rubles.
They should just pay it. Get rid of it. Dude, fix it.
They did, if you listen to part two of the clip.
Ram Elbowim, the CEO of cybersecurity company Signia, has tracked Black Hat for years. Here's how he describes them.
What makes them, I would say, unique is the viciousness, if we can call it, of the attacks.
Elbowim says Black Hat sells its malicious code to affiliates, taking a cut of the profits. They even provide human resources, a platform to negotiate payments with victims, and a public leak site. The criminal ecosystem of ransomware continues to thrive. That's partially because these groups often live outside the reach of U.S. law enforcement. A senior administration official tells NPR that many of these hackers operate with impunity somewhere inside Russia. Black Hat emerged out of the ashes of another group that might be familiar, called DarkSide. In May 2021, that group attacked Colonial Pipeline, leaving half the eastern seaboard without fuel for days. At that time, ransomware groups were at least publicly hesitant to target critical infrastructure. But all that seems to have changed in recent years. Here's how Steve Cagle, the CEO of the healthcare cybersecurity company Clearwater, described this shift in a briefing for the healthcare industry in early March.
The other thing I'll mention about Black Hat is this is an organization that the FBI was able to, in some respects, force seizure of their sites. They reemerged. And we reported a couple of months ago, they removed all restrictions against hospitals and, practically speaking, encouraged their affiliates to go after hospitals and raise their commission rate to 90%.
The FBI's annual Internet Crime Report confirms that healthcare and public health were the top sectors impacted by ransomware in 2023. As for Black Hat, they actually received that $22 million ransom, presumably from Change Healthcare or its parent company. The group then disappeared, though experts say its members are likely to rebrand and wreak havoc again.
Wait a minute. So have they? Did they give them the unlock key?
The way they described it is they gave them their data back.
I have a report, too. Let me see if it brings us some clarity here.
This morning, there's also some information about the Department of Health and Human Services going to put Change Healthcare on the operating table. Now, last month, Change Healthcare was hit with what the American Hospital Association calls, quote, the most significant and consequential cyber attack on the U.S. healthcare system in American history, end quote. Now, the insurance billing firm, which is what that company does, involves roughly one-third of U.S. patient records, and the HHS will investigate into whether Change Healthcare properly protected that data in compliance with the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. But the impact actually goes beyond just that cyber attack.
If you're looking at a copay discount card, you're probably not going to be able to use that at this point in time until the system is fixed.
A spokesperson for Change Healthcare and its parent company, United Health Group, says that it will cooperate with the HHS investigation.
I don't know, man. This sounds
made it worse.
Yes, it sounds like Klaus Schwab was right.
And improve our preparedness for a potential cyber pandemic.
Yeah, baby. Cyber pandemic.
So I don't know about you, but the early days of computing in this, let's say, the mid-50s on to the 70s for microcomputers.
Okay, yeah, I don't have any opinion on that.
The normal procedure, and you know this, the normal procedures you'd have complete, you wouldn't have backups, you'd have archives. So you could and it would be done continually on tape. And if you lost the system because everyone thought these things weren't going to work very well, you could just grab an archive from yesterday and you reset yourself back up.
Yeah.
Do they do any of that now? Or are they just random backups or continuous backups or the kind of backups that you have to assume the machine keeps working? And I mean, where's the backups on these things? The guys pull down the system, they take all the, or just say they erased all the disks. Shouldn't the company be able to reestablish using backup data?
A backup and a backup to that backup and a backup to the backup to the backup.
Yeah. That's how it used to be. I don't know. Well, first of all, I'm going to push back a little bit. When we had to go and get the tape, that meant you usually had to drive to the mountain. You know, oh man, oh, you got to get the tape. And it would take 48, it would take 48 hours to restore from tape. Restoring from tape took a long time. It was, but I don't know. I think everything is cloud storage. Oh, just throw it in the cloud. Incremental backups. I don't know. I really don't know. I think we've gotten into such a cavalier attitude about stuff. But this is Microsoft. I think Microsoft stuff is just, they're just locking it all up. And there's probably no good practices. There's too much data. People don't know how to handle it. I suffer with our dude's name, Ben. This has got to be incredibly difficult to manage it all. And we really don't know. We're not getting good information about what really happened. You know, maybe some guy just screwed it up and said, oh, it's ransomware and took $22 million. You don't know.
That would be a one smart guy.
You don't know. You really don't know. I have a couple topics to discuss. There's a lot of Transmaoism stuff popping up. I want to make sure we talk about it. Just some headlines. Trans women suicide rate doubles after vaginoplasty. New study finds. So, you know, that one's off the table. Would you rather have a dead son versus a living daughter? And this one is from Gallup, is disturbing. 30% of Gen Z women identify as LGBTQ. 30%, which to me proves that this is just, I just don't want to feel out of place. I want to be a part of the gang. You know, I don't want to say I'm straight. And, you know, so you just throw in a Q, or I'm a B, I'm a Q, I'm a they, them. I got my pronouns. So this is, I think it's coming to an end. I have a feeling that this.
Yeah, you've been saying this for weeks on end.
Yeah, I feel it's coming. And then the big news is there's a new Gamergate. And since we kind of.
Well, before you get off the topic you just started, I do have a clip for it.
Oh, well,
which is the puberty blockers clip.
The Gamergate is a part of it, but let's hear that.
All right, so some good news in the fight for medical prudence.
Oh, yes.
Britain's National Health Service, the NHS, has banned the use of puberty blockers for children who claim to have gender dysphoria. Well, fewer than 100 children and teens are currently on blockers in the UK. The number of young people referred to NHS Gender Identity Development Services has ballooned by more than 1,600% in a decade. For more on this landmark decision and what it might mean here in Australia, I'm joined by journalist Bernard Lane, who covers this topic so well for Gender Clinic News. Bernard joins me now. Bernard, take us through this actual decision. What prompted it?
Well, Peter, there's a few elements to it. First of all, an independent expert review of the evidence for puberty blockers, which found that the evidence was very weak and uncertain. We don't know if they're safe. We don't know what effect they have. And also, you mentioned the spike in patient numbers and the change in the patient profile. Suddenly, a lot of teenage girls, that's the background to it. And so the National Health Service England has decided that the puberty blockers should no longer be offered as a routine treatment to young people who are distressed about their gender. Instead, there will be non-invasive psychological and social interventions used now that they're closing down the Tavistock Clinic finally on March 31. And through these new regional clinics, which will take over the gender service, they will not be giving puberty blockers as routine treatment.
Yeah, so I saw this this news, but
I should mention the guy. This goes on for a while. I didn't clip it too much, but they mentioned that of all the countries that are all jacked up about this and into it, Australia makes us look like weak sisters.
No, really?
Yeah, Australia is completely into it, which brings in the idea that there's a Maoist thing involved, because the Chinese are very concerned about Australia. They, you know, they're in the sphere of influence. And
yeah, they
this
got
is
the
a
subs.
Good way to go.
They got the subs. So, you know, non-invasive psychiatric help. I mean, does that mean they're going to jack them up on drugs, on other drugs? Like, you know.
It sounded like they tried to say counseling, but
yeah, but,
who knows?
But they didn't. Anti-sad pills, maybe? I don't know. The Wall Street Journal had an interesting article. You remember the acronym DINK? DINKs?
DINK, double income, no kids?
Yes, yes. And this is a big problem. And, you know, my stance is we need to have many more. We need to be making children. Unless you just want to open the borders, because that's the plan. If you don't have children, then you just better expect that to happen. But DINKS is no longer the preferred term. The DINKS prefer DINO, which stands for dual income, no offspring, because you know, we can't say kids. I mean, that would that makes it too real. DINKY. What do you think that stands for?
Double income, no kids yet.
Oh, are you reading it now? Did you pull
no.
up the article? How about SINKS?
SINKS?
Yeah, SINKS.
Single income, no kids.
Very good. And then my favorite, DINKWADS.
That would be you.
Double income, no kids with a dog. DINKWADS. I want to meet some DINKWADS.
No, I nailed it.
You did. Hey. We got kids.
You don't have kids living there. You got a dog.
Yeah, well, but we have kids. Oh, and we don't have double income anymore. You know, Tina's retired from corporate life.
Okay. So you'd be, what was
sink,
it?
SINKWAD.
You'd be SINKWAD. SINKWAD.
SINKWAD. DINKWAD just sounds like DICKWAD. It just doesn't sound good. Anyway, I wanted to just mention that Gamergate 2 seems to be happening. Because that's, in my mind, we missed a lot of that. And that's where a lot of this.
We purposely missed it.
Yeah, but it is. I've always felt this part of the genesis of the bullying and a lot of the DEI and the, you know, it's not fair and women this and men that and toxic masculinity. And so I just wanted to mention, because I saw it on the Mastodon. I saw someone talking about Sweet Baby. And I was like, what's this Sweet Baby thing? So supposedly, I don't know anything about gaming. I'll say that up front. But I do know Steam. You know, Steam is kind of the gaming platform. You can get a whole bunch of games there, and people make games, put up games. It's all Steam is games. Steam. I think I had a Steam app at one point for some virtual reality test, which sucked. But this Sweet Baby Inc., apparently they're a consulting firm who consult with games and game makers, and I may be getting this wrong, but I think this is what happened. And they make games that are all, you know, that are appropriate, and you know, they have women as the heroes, and you know, or some LGBTQ, whatever. Then Sweet Baby Inc. is basically woke. So some user on Steam made a playlist of all the woke games that had been consulted by Sweet Baby Inc. And then the Sweet Baby Inc. tried to get that user deplatformed. And at the end of it all, it's Trump's fault. That's basically what it boils down to. And if there's anything else anyone wants to email me about, let me know. Because I don't want to miss Gamergate 2. I feel that we did a disservice to the producers by missing Gamergate the first time.
We didn't miss
We
just ignored it.
We didn't understand it. I remember. We didn't understand
it. Well, I know. We're revisiting past history. Yeah, you can always re-engineer it.
No, we didn't understand.
Possibility.
We didn't understand it. And then the last in this particular episode of Transmaoism, the Daughters of the American Revolution has now decided to allow trans women into their group.
Wow.
I know. Wow, indeed. I mean, whoa. That surprised me.
Yeah, that's very subversive.
Yeah.
There's a lot of this going on.
Yeah.
One bad apple gets in there, next thing you know.
Well, we have on that same track, we have another black woman who is being deplatformed or being blamed. Just as Mo said, you watch. The black women who were pushed to the forefront are now being blamed for everything, and they're all being taken down in our grand season of reveal. This is the mayor of Dalton, Illinois.
We've been reporting for months on controversies that have clouded Mayor Tiffany Hinyard's administration of that small south suburb. The mayor, her security detail, and several of her allies went to Las Vegas last May to attend a conference to lure retail business to town. Now we've obtained a complaint filed with the Illinois Department of Human Rights in which one of Hinyard's aides on that trip accuses a trustee of a sexual encounter after she blacked out and had been unable to provide consent. The woman says she later had been fired after reporting the incident to the mayor. In a separate complaint filed with the Department of Human Rights, a Dalton police officer on the mayor's security detail says he had been demoted for coming forward to say the trustee called and FaceTimed with him to brag about his sexual exploits. We're not naming the trustee because he hasn't been charged with a crime. But tonight, he's telling WGN Investigates the woman's story is fabricated and he simply tried to help her while she was intoxicated and high on drugs. Trustees saying outside investigators hired by the village cleared him of wrongdoing. Mayor Hinyard's publicist declined to comment. The Department of Human Rights says it has not substantiated these complaints, but has started an investigation.
It really is. The DEI stuff is falling apart. Boeing's being, all the problems at Boeing are being blamed on DEI. The problems at United being blamed on DEI, even though it probably isn't that. But when you virtue signal like the dude in the dress at United, what's his name, the CEO?
Oh, I can't remember. Kirby, I think.
Yeah. When you virtue signal like that, you're going to get blamed. You gotta get blamed.
And it's the guy, Unitas, yes, Unitas. I want to go back to that clip you just played.
Okay.
This is a small town mayor?
Yes.
What is a small town mayor doing floating around Vegas with a security detail?
Living it up, baby. What are you
with
talking
a security
about?
Detail, and as it finished off in the report, she has a publicist?
Yes, of course.
What sort of small town mayor has a publicist?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. By the way, I told you.
Are they paying the security detail and the publicist out of public funds?
Yes. Oh, they had the receipts and everything. Thousands of dollars for hotel rooms and meals.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about the publicist. What? It's just beyond me.
By the way,
well, they should go after some of these women. They're abusive. They abuse power.
I'm not running for mayor anymore. Decided not to run.
What?
Yeah, I know I'm disappointing you. I took a look at what the mayor has to do. I'm like, John, it's a lot of meetings. I probably can be more effective doing a podcast here.
How many meetings are we talking about?
It's all meetings. It's crazy the amount of meetings. It's like
there
are
governors, like when George W. Bush was governor of Texas. He was only working 2 months out of the entire year as governor.
Well, this is Fredericksburg, Texas. There's a lot going on here. Then I don't want to deal with that. I want it to be helpful to the community. I think I can do other things to be helpful. I can be the podcast mayor.
Yeah, hang out at the vape shop.
There you go.
That's a meeting.
And then one update on the Georgia issue, speaking of DEI in law enforcement.
Meanwhile, a Georgia judge today dismissed six charges in the election interference case involving Mr. Trump, saying they were too vague, including a charge related to this phone call where the former president pressured Georgia's Secretary of State.
I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more that we have.
The judge left the door open for prosecutors to refile those charges. Mr. Trump has pleaded not guilty.
So this is all falling apart. That was kind of the core of the whole Georgia thing, wasn't it?
Part of it. I mean, the whole Georgia thing's falling apart because Fannie Willis, another black woman that you that Mo would point out, they're going after because she's corrupt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I mean, some of these people are simply corrupt. I'd say Letitia James in New York, another black woman, is corrupt. She's a corrupt person.
Yeah.
And I what does Mo ever discuss? Why that there is it the black man's been passed over for corrupt black females in certain positions?
Well, in case you hadn't noticed, there's few black men in any positions because black women, preferably black lesbian women, have been pushed to the forefront of everything, of every major movement. Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, exactly. It's absolutely true. But who's doing the pushing? Soros?
Well, yes. I mean, it's no longer George, but Alex. But all, I mean, it's a huge organization. If you just look at the tentacles the Soros Open Society Institute has in Texas alone, it's crazy. There must be 40 or 50 different people in school districts, in DA's offices. It's real. It's unbelievable.
This is why, as I wrote in a Substack column, one of my last that I wrote, Dvorak.substack.com, we should reinstitute the now defunct House Un-American Activities Committee to look into this.
Yes.
These are un-American activities.
Yes. Yes.
Corrupt black women all over the place.
A friend of mine was telling me about Sloan Kettering. That, you know, Sloan Kettering is very racist. Like, oh, yeah, we can't use that. We can't use that particular company to outsource because they have too many men. Not enough black people. And then they hired this woman who was black woman who, you know, oh, she's perfect for the job. And she couldn't do the job. I mean, she had to resign. It's so wrong for everybody. And it hurts black women too. Or especially, I should say. It's just, you know, I'm glad. I think the airline thing is probably the best thing that could happen for anti-DEI, because you could talk about it a million times, but when people are convinced that because of DEI, your airline or your airplane is no longer safe, that makes a difference. That stuff will stop. And it should just be merit-based. Hello. Anyway, one more.
Sound like Mark Levin. Hello, America.
The great one. I did want to play one local story. Where is it here? Local story. Because we have South by Southwest.
Oh, yes, right now, you do.
In Austin. Yeah, South by Southwest. It was really going well. I mean, there were big names here this year and people were digging it. And it was kind of, yeah. I mean, I didn't see any of it because any smart person stays away from Austin during South by. But I was like, well, it sounds like this was a pretty good year for a South by Southwest, until it wasn't.
The annual South by South Music Festival in Austin is looking a lot different this year. Dozens of performers and even speakers canceling their appearances, all because of an issue that goes far beyond the Austin city limits. More than 60 bands are now boycotting because the festival is sponsored by the U.S. military department and also some defense companies. The boycott is a move that some artists say shows solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza, as the U.S. government continues to support Israel in that ongoing conflict.
It was a really hard decision to come to. We kind of went back and forth. I think that we're powerful together, and that's really clear.
Governor Greg Abbott reacted to the boycott on social media, writing, quote, bye, don't come back. We are proud of the U.S. military in Texas. If you don't like it, don't come here. And South by Southwest responded to the governor's statement, saying it does not agree with Abbott, adding, quote, we have and will continue to support human rights for all.
No.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Of course, we must also remember that South by Southwest really started all of the lockdowns of everything in America. When they said we're canceling South by, that's when everything folded. They were the tipping point. And that was Adler, our previous mayor in Austin. So those people.
Whatever happened to him?
He went back to being a millionaire real estate lawyer after all his cool deals.
You know. Well, my favorite clip of the day is the pot-eating rats.
Okay. Thank goodness.
PD Chief Ann Kirkpatrick says rats are getting in and eating drugs in the evidence room at NOPD headquarters. It's just one of the reasons that she says they need to find a new one. Eleanor Tabone is joining us live now on what is prompting that move, other than the obvious rats eating
evidence. Eleanor?
Katie, rats, roaches, no AC, broken elevators. The NOPD headquarters building here on Broad Street is decaying. That's why the city is looking for a new space, a space where rats don't eat evidence.
The rats eating our marijuana, they're all high.
You heard that right. Rats eating marijuana from the evidence room. NOPD Chief Anne Kirkpatrick says sometimes staff come into work and find rat droppings on their desk.
When we say we value our employees, you can't say that and at the same time allow people to work in conditions that are not acceptable.
I was not going to give it to you until I heard the rats are high. So, yes, you will get a clip of the day for that. Clip of
the day. Now, this clip goes on. This is a scam of some sort to get a completely new police building.
Yes. Well, it's good for me.
and it's like you can poison rats. You can trap them. There's rat traps. You can stop this. And roaches, you know, you can do the same thing and bring an exterminator in and get rid of the roaches and the rats. But then, no. The rats are eating the pot and we're losing evidence. And we got to move to a new place because this is no good.
Where'd the evidence go? I know, man. The rat ate it.
Yeah, which is another aspect. What happened to all this pot?
And with that,
rats.
I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the Chew World Order. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. John C. DeBoran.
Well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. In the morning, it ships at sea. The boots on the ground, the feet in the air, the subs of the water, the dames, and the knights out there.
Oh, and I was going to say in the morning. Oh, there it is. In the morning to the trolls in the troll room. Let me check out. Let me see how we did on the previous show. The previous show, we had, I put this in my notes here, 1586 on Thursday, and we're down, 1572. I think it's the Africa clip. We should have played the rat clip before the Africa clip. That was our mistake. Well, in the morning to you, trolls. You can join these merry band of trolls listening live by going to, oh wait, is there a troll count? There's a website for troll count. What is this? This is interesting. What is this? Cotton Gin made a plot. Oh my God. It's loading there. Oh, wow. Oh, this is cool. If you go to
groovy,
you want to see this. If you go to trollcount.cottongin.xyz, which is normally for porn, it shows you a nice graph of when the trolls come in, when they peak, and
troll
when they leave.
Count, was it troll?
Troll count.
Give me again.
Trollcount.cottongin.xyz. This is troll porn. This is great. Oh, man. It shows the troll count over the last 4 hours. Dynamite. Anyway, well, John's taking a look at that graph. You can go to trollroom.io, and that's where you can join the stream live. It's 24/7. You can jump into the troll room there and chat along. Of course, we always thank Mr. Darren O'Neill, who was there in Chirac and does 2 hours of the Rock and Roll pre-show and gets everybody in the mood, gets them all pumped. And you can also use a modern podcast app, which will give you an alert the minute we go live. Any of these shows can use that. Many of them already do. In fact, Darren, when he does Planet Rage with what's the deep voice guy over there, Larry, from that Larry show, and they make big use of this.
I think every troll that heard that URL is loaded, because like it won't load.
That's possible.
You brought the site down.
We got slash dotted. There you go. Go to podcastapps.com, and today I will recommend Podcast Guru. Podcast Guru.
Have you recommended that last time?
No, I recommended Castomatic last time. Yeah, that's a new one every single time. Actually, I'm going to recommend a secondary one. I'm going to recommend True Fans. True Fans.
True Fans?
Yes.
Only Fans.
No, it's truefans.com. Now, that is a web app. So it's also a desktop. It's a website, but you can load it as a web app. True Fans is actually quite cool. They got a lot of interactivity over there on truefans.com. But also Podcast Guru. You can, and if you want to learn more about podcasting 2.0, which is keeping podcasting as the last bastion of free speech, you can go to podcasting2.org. There's lots of explanations of what it is, all lists of all of the apps, places you can get in on the action and be a part of the future of podcasting, which is now. And dump all those legacy apps, please. John, you and I are now the proud owners of SlenderMint.com.
Nice.
Yeah. I was very surprised that SlenderMint would be available, but it is. So our product development is already...
We're on our way.
It's starting now. Of course, this is a value for value podcast. We put the show out there with no expectation. We just provide the value to you. That's it. I mean, we do that, and it's up to you what you do with that. If you feel compelled, you want to send some value back with no other expectation than just a return of value, we appreciate that. You can go to noagendadonations.com to learn more about it, learn the different ways you can do it. You can do time, talent, or treasure, which means we accept all forms. Like this, I love this chart. Thank you very much, Cotton Gin. I mean, that's something that's cool. That is valuable to us, to me at least. I like it. I like the art generator. I like all of our. I was up with Void Zero. He was up at 3 a.m. his time working on something. It looked like something had broken. He's a dude named Ben. You know, I said, hey, something's broken. I got to have this fixed before the show tomorrow. He was up, fixed it. I mean, this is a lot.
Went back to bed.
Yeah.
What was the problem? What happened?
It wasn't, Dolores wasn't syncing with the other servers. No, we had a Dolores issue. That's the name of the main server we upload to. But, you know, this is time and talent that is being delivered to us because of the value we put out there with no further expectation other than love. We just love you. We want you to have a fun and happy life. Now, a lot of artists like to return that value by making dynamite album art because it's something that looks great when you promote the show. Every new episode has it. It looks fantastic in the modern podcast apps. Our last show was episode 1641. We titled that one Lock the Clock. It was, of course, daylight saving time only in America. 2.5 more weeks until it happens in Europe. So people may have been showing up late for today's show. Sorry about that. It was hard to find any good art.
There wasn't any.
Yeah. Well, we chose Sir Parker Pauly, Black Knight Parker Pauly's Hot Mic because it was a pretty piece.
It was pretty.
But I got to tell you, ever since people started using AI, the quality has just gone down. Not that AI is a problem because it's a tool that you can use. But if you have no talent of humor, ideas, you know, stuff.
AI is not going to provide it.
No, it's not. Just because AI can create something pretty doesn't mean that the output will be great. So as an example, there was nothing. There was really nothing.
No, there was absolutely nothing.
I mean,
and Hot Mic, as far as I was concerned, wasn't, but that was kind of a
Hail Mary
agreement as opposed to going into the archives and trying to dig something up.
We know, but I noticed that on the new art generator, thank you, Paul Couture, there's no evergreens tab.
The evergreens are gone. There's no evergreens. I don't know what happened to them.
So you can't upload to evergreens anymore, I guess. I mean, so the stuff that was there was, let me see, we had some Bidens, and, a monkey with symbols. Was that comics or blogger probably? Oh, no. Coob the Boob.
Coob the Boob.
You know, it's like AI Trump, Francisco Scaramanga. He sometimes whiffs the ball, doesn't he? That was just a miss, skinnier bust. With the death bound. I mean, he put work into it, I know, but just that didn't work. What else did we have here?
There's the
ITM shopping cart. Rappel David did an AI Lock the Clock. But, I was kind
why
of...
Why are these things... I don't know if our buddy's listening, but why are these mentioned episode 1691?
That's a good question.
We're on 16. This is 1641. We're on 1642.
Wow, you know what? The previous episode was 1690, and before
we
that
didn't
was
notice it then.
No, Did that just, did something change recently?
I'd have to go back.
Well, this art is from
the future.
What
that happened? This, got the wrong episode this numbers art on all
from,
these.
From the future. Oh, well, it happens.
Yeah, but it's just the counter, so it's just something.
I mean, I
added 50 for some reason. It goes back 1689 is wrong. We haven't done that show yet.
So the counter's off.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. Here it went from 1638. 1689. So it went from 1638 to six instead of 1639, it went to 1689 on March 3rd.
There's a gap, man. There's a gap in
an increment of 50 on March 3rd, 2024.
When we take a look at the all-time artists who have been chosen the most, Nick the Rat still reigns supreme, 189. Martin JJ, 107. Neither of them really participate anymore. Darren O'Neill, 104. Thorin, where is Thorin? Was chosen 50.
Thorin's gone.
Nesworks,
Mike Riley doesn't do much anymore. Cesium 137, another famous guy that's gone.
Yeah. Let's look at the
20 watt bulb. Remember him?
Let's look at the rolling 90 days. Francisco Scaramanga, number one. Dame Kenny Ben, number two. Darren, number three. CSB, number four. The butt man. Nesworks, number fifth place. Dirty Jersey Whore at six. And then we're just down to people who were chosen once. Let's take a look at the rolling 6 month. Scaramanga at the top, Kenny Ben, Matt Boisvert, five. He's third place. Nestworks in fourth place. The rolling annual puts Dame Kenny Ben on top with Scaramanga second, Nestworks third. Capitalist Agenda. He hasn't done something in a while, has he?
Yeah, he comes in once in a while.
Yeah. Anyway, we love all of these artists. We love everyone who tries. It's always fun. And you'd be surprised. Sometimes someone, a newbie, just comes in, does something, boom, nails it. NoAgendaArtGenerator.com. You can refresh it in real time as the show is going. You can watch them upload. You can check it out right now. You can upload yourself. Or our buddy Dreb Scott, the Bruce Wayne of Podcasting 2.0, he uses a lot of these pieces of art for the chapter art, which of course is only available in the modern podcast apps, podcastapps.com. NoAgendaArtGenerator.com. Thank you again to all of our artists, and a special thanks to Parker Pauly for bringing something that was usable, at least. Now to the executive and associate executive producers for episode 1642. These are the people who came in $200 or above, $300 or above. We'd love to give them a title, which is real, just like Hollywood, which is so real that you can use it on business cards, your LinkedIn, you can open an IMDb account. And we kick it off with John Shattles. John Shattles is in Austin, Texas, and he comes in with $343.75, says no jingles, no karma, and we thank you very much, sir. That's appreciated.
That's followed by Dame Susan of the Parkways. And she sent a check-in and wrote a note with Sue. She has very distinctive handwriting.
I noticed that. What is on the check? What is the number on the check?
333.33.
Ah, beautiful.
She says, here's my annual donation to celebrate my children's birthdays. Last year, my daughter Jessica became a dame. However, I misnamed her. Please change Dame Whatchamacallit to Dame What's-Her-Name. Jessica's birthday is March 12th. Credit this donation, this is a switcheroo, to my son John, that's J-O-N, so he can soon join us at the round table. John's birthday is March 9th. Thank you. No jingles, no karma. Dame Susan of the Parkways.
So do we call him John of the Parkways?
Yeah. I think just John.
Just John, J-O-N. Okay, that's fine.
Unless we had our last name, we don't.
Ulrich Herkens, Wiener Neustadt. This looks like it's coming from Austria. Beautiful. 333. With this donation of mine, I'm becoming a knight and would like to be called Sir Ulrich of Wiener Neustadt. Thank you for all you do, deconstructing MSM, or as we like to say, M5M, and making me laugh constantly. Oh, well, thank you. We do try. For the roundtable, please serve me some Spanish tapas and some super Bock beer from Porto. Would Porto be Portugal? Porto, Portugal? Bock beer, yeah, from Porto?
Yeah, Porto is a port, literally, in Portugal.
Hmm.
But where port comes from.
But it's Bock beer from Porto.
They probably make beer there, too. I don't know.
I'd like to take the opportunity to recommend all honorable listeners and producers of No Agenda to the very fine podcast, Bitcoin and ... by David Bennett. Yes, I've listened to that. This guy has some serious opinions on the latest tech and markets and also knows some pretty bad dad jokes. Jobs karma, please, for my smoking hot girlfriend, Ava, and a little girl, yay. I think we can facilitate with both of those for you. Oops, I forgot the jobs karma lined up. Here we go.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. Yeah. You got karma.
Classic.
Drunken Yak shows up with $314.16, and he is a short note, just says, can I get a Putin yell? F the EU and goat karma.
Putin!
You've got karma.
Our next executive producer, Lindsay Christensen, 314.16 pie donation. Thank you. She says, I'm still trying to figure out the value of this show since the news often makes me depressed.
What?
If I'm not going to keep my head in the sand, then I prefer to hear the news from you both as your deconstruction is the best. Thank you for everything. Well, this a lot of people do that. A lot of people have given up on M5M. They listen to us twice a week. I mean, we keep you up to speed. You know,
I
about
think so. I think we cover everything.
You got the Kate Middleton. You know, this is the stuff the algo is telling all your friends is important. You got the, what was the other important one? The we started the show off with was so we heard about SpaceX. You got
a SpaceX rocket and Kate Middleton were the.
Well, but you also you keep up the speed on the sumo. You can throw that in to make you sound like you're a little, you know, a little special, extra special.
Special, a
little extra special.
Dumb.
There was something else that we a TikTok. We keep you up to speed on the TikTok. You can sound smart. And we all know that we have a million people here. This is the million morons. So now you can be a moron, but you know, sound smart. You can hold up a conversation. Hey, have you seen the latest sumo championships? People will think you're cool. And that's it. So, Lindsay, thank you very much. Keep listening. We're here for you.
Rex Costello, Parts Unknown, comes in with another pie donation at 314.16. And he says, we love No Agenda. I've been a fan of the show since my friend Jules hit me in the mouth in 2021 while living in Brooklyn, New York, of all places. No Agenda was the first podcast I heard which filled my heart with humor and joy in the midst of the scamdemic madness and all the propagandistic absurdities. This 314 Pi Day marks my 33rd birthday. We have, you know, the number of people that have the 33rd birthday on this show is amazing.
I don't think he's on the list either. Let me see.
Like my donation to go up towards de-douching my smoking hot wife.
You've been de-douched.
Deanna, who is also an avid listener to the show. Please provide her goat karma with blessings for a pleasant pregnancy and delivery as she is carrying our second precious human resource, who's due to arrive in late August of this year, and would love to hear Boom Shakalaka Little Girl, followed by the F the EU jingle. This is an interesting
two in a row. Yeah,
this is a
random number theory.
Infinite love and thanks, he continues, and thanks for your continued effort as friendly voices of reason in the dark days of Kali Yoga, with prayers for brighter ones ahead. Rex.
Boom shakalaka. Boom shakalaka.
You've got karma.
All right, Rex. Then let us know when the human resource arrives. Sir Prime, Doctor of Illuminated Thinking, pie donation 314.16, and says no note for episode 1642. I think that's just that note was no note. So it's a note.
Yeah,
with no note.
The other.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Why don't you give him double up karma?
You've got
double up
karma.
Internet Sir David. Again, the cities aren't coming through the spreadsheet. Jingles, don't be a denier. Shut up already. I've got new information. Baronet Sir David, fresh Prince of Bel-Air here, celebrating Pi Day. Greetings to all my fellow Gitmo Nation nerds. Cosine, second, tangent, sine 3.14159. Skeptics unite.
The science is in.
Science. Shut up already. Science.
I've got information, man. New shit has come to light.
And we have Sir Cal of LavenderBlossoms.org as our first associate executive producer with 234.32 ITM Gents. Stay organic. Sir Cal of LavenderBlossoms.org.
Dragon Slayer in St. George, 222.22, and he's got no note, but he does, or somebody put in here, double up karma.
You've got karma.
Ben, coming to us from Bensonville, Illinois, Gigawatt Coffee Roasters, LLC. Yeah. That's coincidental because I am drinking today the Live Wire Espresso Snap Chill Coffee.
That would explain it.
We're celebrating 4 years in business. We made it through a pandemic, supply chain shortages, and 3 years of building back better. Cheers to all small business owners of Gitmo and beyond. You are the engine that keeps the economy running. Stay caffeinated. Eli, the coffee guy, and he says, for coffee-loving producers, visit GigawattCoffeeRoasters.com. We're offering 25% off the first month's coffee subscription in March. Beautiful. 201.33. Thank you.
You're going to read the next one, but first I'm going to read this one, which is Linda Lupakin in Lakewood, Colorado, came in with, let me think, how much would she come in with? $200. Jobs karma for a resume, and she writes, for a resume that gets results, go to imagemakersinc.com for all your executive resume and job search needs. It must be working. That's Imagemakers Inc. with a K. Or find Linda Lupakin. She's the Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes, and she's on the producer list.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
So it's interesting when producers have small businesses and they they want to use a donation to promote that. Now, this is not going to, I got some pushback on this one here. This is Sir Mark C., St. Petersburg, Florida, $200.33. And he has some copy here about opting out of your expensive, opaque, and impersonal healthcare insurance and trying to force you to eat bugs and keep you sick. Join a sovereign healthcare network that is working to flip the script. We're a community that actually cares about their members. We want you to eat healthy and delicious beef. Go to joincrowdhealth.com and use code ITM to pay only $99 for your first month. So I'm very familiar with CrowdHealth. My wife uses crowdhealth.com, and they denied me coverage. They denied me to join their community.
Well, that's no good.
They denied me because I have smoked in my life. Now, I had not been smoking for almost a year. I kicked the habit.
You don't smoke now except to vape?
I vape, yes. And they said, you're no good.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah, so I had to join the Christian health ministries. Same idea. Bunch of Jesus freaks. These are Bitcoin guys, by the way. And I was sad. I really wanted to join.
Are you paying in Bitcoin?
You can, yes. Yeah, I think Tina does. She loves the Bitcoin. She's crazier about it than I am.
Well, that's a good thing for you. Michelle Meyer in Longville, Minnesota is up, and she is last, and she's in at $200, and she had she sent a nice card in, which happens to be a Hallmark card.
Oh, beautiful.
$200. She says, this is a switcheroo, another one, for Nick Stang, her son-in-law from Champlain, Minnesota. Nuts. Nick and his son, my grandson, Leo, share a birthday on Sunday, March 10th. Nick will be 34, and Leo will be 1.
Oh.
I'm assuming there's a birthday listing there for these two.
I hope so.
Please give Nick a de-douching and a biscuit for his birthday.
They always give me a biscuit on my
birthday. You've been de-douched.
Oh, sorry.
Says, thank you for being the greatest podcast in the universe. Don't want to leave that out. You make me think and laugh. Sincerely, Michelle Meyer.
We try.
There you go.
And these are our executive and associate executive producers. We love you all very much. Go to noagendadonations.com to learn more about becoming an exec or associate exec and all of the wonderful things that come along with it, including that forever title that you can use forever and boast about wherever you go. John's going to take us through to the $50 name and location and amount. And if there's something there, we'll add that. We don't have to, but we love to do it when it makes sense.
We're starting off with Dusan Melektik in Bartlett, Texas. And he actually wrote a note on a sheet of paper because this came in as a check. But there's nothing on here that requires reading that I can tell. But he does say, be seeing you, which I think
is
interesting. Greg Hoy in Pacifica, California. And by the way, Dustin was, or Dusan. Was 161.80. Greg Hoy in Pacifica, California, 133.33. Terry Wentz in Langley, Washington.
Washington.
125. Yeah. Sir Andrew Gardner in Leonardtown, Maryland. Well, that's, I think every time he shows up, I say he's in New York. 86.33. Joseph Dante in West Monroe, Louisiana, 84.38 which is some sort of, it's a boob donation with the money being paid in, and it's a birthday coming up, and he has to calling out somebody as a douchebag. Who is it?
Douchebag.
Chuck S. is a douchebag. Okay. Chuck S., that was for you. Kevin McLaughlin in Concord, North Carolina, 8008, Save the Hooters. Scott Mengel, 7854. Sir Gears, 7854. This is a happy seventh to his daughter, which is on the list. She's on the list. Priscilla O'Leary, 7854. Dame Jen, Boise, Idaho, 6611. Christopher Dechter, 5678. Lydia Terry Dominelli in Rochester, New Hampshire. Hacken, and oh, I'm sorry, she's 5823. Hacken. Andreessen, Portland, 5272. Sir Economic Hitman, haven't heard from him for a while.
It's been a long time for Sir Economic Hitman.
In Tomball, Texas, 5001, and that leads us to the $50 donors, which I'll read name and location one after the other, starting with Tim Delvecchio in Blandon, Pennsylvania, Corinne Cunningham in Warrenton, Virginia, John Spade in Edmond, Oklahoma, Andrew Grasso in Mineola, New York, Gary Mao in Woodland Hills, California, Stephen Ng in Box Elder, South Dakota, Dame Patricia Worthington in Miami, Real Deals Now, and they're in San Antonio, Texas, Brandon Savoy in Port Orchard, Washington, Jared Yaw in Nashville, Tennessee, Kunstwerhuis in Eindhoven.
Hold on a second. What is his name? Oh, interesting. Kunst Four in House.
In Eindhoven.
Juli sein Top.
Diane Schwanebeck in Johnsburg, Illinois. Kevin Dills in Huntersville, North Carolina. Christian Freeman in San Marcos, Texas. And last on our, actually a short list, Wendy Brahman in Saginaw, Michigan. Thank these people. I want to thank every one of them for making show 1642 a reality.
Thank you to everyone who came in under $50. I saw that we had exactly one $3.14 donation for the for Pi Day. That used to be like 100. People don't care about pie.
No, they've given up. They don't even know what it is half the time.
I think phones ruin pie. No one needs to know what it is anymore. No one needs
phones
trigonometry.
Ruined everything.
Yeah,
face it.
The internet was a mistake. Yes, we know. Thank you to everyone who came in under
it
50.
Was.
$49.99, we see you. But also thank you to everyone who came in with a sustaining donation. It is highly appreciated. You keep it going when the lists are short. And how long have we known Sir Eruditarian?
I think we've known Eruditarian since the first year of the show.
So he sent me, because I went to the P.O. box, he sent me a beautiful gift. And he says, I'm so happy to hear about your faith on the show. Please don't stop. I pray that God keeps you and John and your family and friends safe and healthy. And he made a cross from recycled walnut from Iowa. just handmade. I appreciate that. I love little things like that.
I also want to thank Elliot for sending me a small, it was under the amount of money that would be mentioned, one of those gold back things, a piece of, you know, it's a sheet of plastic that's got some gold printed on it.
Oh, so it's real gold?
I don't know. I've gotten a few of these.
It's gold flake?
They say it is.
At the restaurant, like they put that on your plate, a little smudge of gold. I love that. That's good.
It's pretty much the same as, gold leaf.
The gold leaf. Wow, that's appreciated.
Which you can eat.
Go to noagendadonations.com. You can learn all about how to support the show. Time, talent, treasure. We are value for value. We appreciate every single one of you. You are not listeners. You are an audience that is filled with producers. That's the only way it works. It is just as much your show as it is ours. And again, thanks to our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1,642.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
And we do have a list for birthdays today. Dame Susan wishing her son John and also giving away that producership to him. Very happy birthday. He's celebrated on the 9th of March. Michelle Meyer says happy birthday to her son-in-law Nick Stang and grandson Leo. Happy birthday. Turned 34 and I guess Leo turned 1 on March 10th. And there's
one.
And there's Dame Susan wishing her daughter Jessica happy birthday for 2 days ago, the 12th. Joseph Dante celebrates today. Sir Gear says happy birthday to his daughter Jolene Lou, turned 7 today. And Rex Costello celebrates 33 years today. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. And no title changes. We do have a night, which is nice. So if you can grab a blade, we've got this Austrian knight. Which,
I still have this silver one laying around. Let's use it.
It's pretty. Come on, Ulrich, step right up. You are very happy to bring you here into the round table of the No Agenda Knights and Dames. Thanks to your support of the show and the amount of $1,000 or more, I'm very proud to pronounce the KD as Sir Ulrich of Wiener Neustadt. For you, we've got Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys and Chardonnay, Spanish Tapas, and some Super Bock beer from Porto. Got it all the way from Porto, just for you. Also, along with that, we have brown cheese and aquavit with Smalahova, Harlots and Haldol, Redhead and Rise. We got some beers and blunts. We got some new Slenderman for you to try out after you gorge yourself on sparkling cider and escorts, ginger ale and gerbils, and the mitten, the mutton, the mead, which you will need a slender mint after that. Go to noagendarings.com as our fresh new knight and check out the beautiful unisex knight and dame rings, which, of course, we need a size from you. So send us your ring size as a sizing guide there along with your address, and we'll send you the ring. It's a signet ring, so you get wax to seal your important correspondence with, along with a certificate of authenticity. And thank you for supporting the No Agenda Show, also known as the best podcast in the universe.
No Agenda Meetup.
We got a meetup report from Sarah from the Beefeaters Anonymous meetup, which was on Saturday the 9th at the Brass Rail restaurant in Selfridges. Bang in the heart of London's West End, was organized by Sir Paul, the trusted advisor who came all the way from Texas, and apparently it was just the two of them. But it was great, but they do ask themselves, where are all the other London producer slaves of Gitmo Nation hiding? Under a bridge, no doubt. She said they had a great time, and they talked about the crazy COVID madness, and they hope that next... Oh, and she also took Paul on a tour of South London's charity shops. Well, there you go. You got connection with a local, and you saw something that is not on the tourist maps. Connection is protection. Now, we have a lot of meetups that are taking... First of all, the meetup today, the Mile High meetup, which is normally in Denver, Colorado, is canceled. Not sure why, but want to make sure you know that so you don't head over there at 6:15. But at 6:15 in Jasper, Georgia, there's a meetup at Rocco's Pub. The Boiler Up Spring Break Pie Day Celebration, 6:30 today at Harry's Chocolate Shop in West Lafayette, Indiana. We have the Ides of March. That is tomorrow. Beware of them. That meetup tomorrow, 7 o'clock at the Urban Lodge Brewery in Manchester, Connecticut. The New Hampshire meetup, 12:30 Eastern on Saturday, the Revolution Tap Room and Grill in Rochester, New Hampshire. Also on Saturday, the Fort Wayne Busco Northeast Indiana March Club, number 33, 1 o'clock at Arena Bar and Grill, Fort Wayne. We have the ITM Richmond meetup, 1 o'clock on Saturday, New Kent Winery and Tallysville Brewing Company in New Kent, Virginia. The Cabbage Smash, 2 o'clock on Saturday, Blue Island Brewery, Blue Island, Illinois. We have the Shrunken Amygdala Support Group meeting. This is a regular support group. 2 o'clock at Taft's Brewporium, Cincinnati, Ohio on Saturday in Sonoma. Wineho meetup. That's the 3.0, 2:33 p.m. Iron and Vine, Santa Rosa, California. Don't show up at 2:30. Wait until 2:33. The Insane Diego monthly meetup. That's the third Saturday when that takes place. 3:30 at Tony Pepperoni, San Diego, California. Here it is on Saturday, Ireland, St. Patrick's Day. Well, before, obviously, Rosslare Harbor Wexford meetup, 6 o'clock Irish time. The Railway Social Club, Rosslare Harbor, County Wexford, Ireland. Muppet Heads organizing. You better show up, people. And I want an audio report because you guys got cool accents. Singing in a Cornfield. That's a meetup on Saturday at Old Stonehouse Tavern in Raymond, Ohio. And finally, the Mountains and Rivers meetup, 3:30 Pacific on Sunday. Our next show today, the Dam Restaurant and Bar in South Slocan, British Columbia, Scandinavia. Many more meetups where you can meet your community. These are people who will not just be there to talk about the show, but when stuff gets bad in the world, you want to have this type of connection with people you know, people who you've met before, and it's so much better than social media. Connection is protection. NoAgendaMeetups.com. Go to NoAgendaMeetups.com. Find out where there is one taking place near you. If there isn't one, just start one yourself. It's easy.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me. Triggered on hell. Everybody feels the same.
La, la, da, bum, bum. It's like a party. All right, everybody. I have a couple ISOs. I think maybe the third one is good, so I'll go first.
That doesn't make any sense. None of it makes any sense.
I mean, at least it's audible. I kind of like that.
Read.
Yeah.
Tick, tack, toe. A winner.
Fell apart.
How about this one?
How crazy is that?
I like that.
I like that one too. I thought that
I was think I got a topper.
You can top me. All right.
Let's start. I got three.
Okay.
Let's start with hey there.
Hey there.
Okay.
That one didn't impress me. Let's try with truth.
Truth.
It's just the truth.
Funny. Yeah. Okay.
Now this one I like. This is that it?
So I mean, is that it?
Oh, I don't like the ending.
So, I mean, is that it?
Let me hear the other one.
It's just the truth.
That one kind of cracked me up more. And then,
how crazy is that?
I think it's between those two. I think it's
just the truth.
Or
how crazy is that?
How about both of them?
No, that's a cop out. Choose one.
I think I'm going to go with the crazy one.
Oh. How crazy is that?
Okay.
Yeah, it works.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And now it's time for
Google JCD.
So not only are you up to speed on all the M5M and all the outrage and everything that the algos are telling people to pay attention to, but you have some deeper insight into the world. And we're going to let you leave feeling good with John's good news clip of the day.
I'm going to double up.
Double up?
I have two good news clips that are both under a minute.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I'll hit a jingle in between then. How does that sound?
All right. Let's start with number two.
This is good for you people. All right. You're going to go away feeling extra special.
We had training that morning, scheduled training at 9 o'clock. A gentleman and his son were walking down the road here, and firefighter Lally They came inside and told me that they saw a kitten meowing in the storm drain. We were sworn as when we got on the fire department to protect lives and property. So, you know, there's a kitten there and there's life we got to protect. And we got our search rope off the truck. We had to make a long loop all the way down to the storm to the kitten. And luckily enough, the kitten came, walked through the loop, and we were able to pull the kitten all the way up. It's very important to know that we're here to help, you know, day or night, 24 hours a day. So if they need us, they can call us and we can be there. It don't matter if it's a kitten or, you know, a person. So, you know, we're going to be there. I'm Captain Nairn with the Raleigh Fire Department. I'm a 911 first responder.
Yes. A kitten story. Save the kitten. He's a firefighter. Nice one.
Good news. Good news.
Well, this is the sweetest video you will see all day. Chicago police officers help reunite a dog with its owner after two long years apart.
Aww.
This just made my day. This made my life. This dog just meant everything to me. I went through a whole lot of hardships with her husband passing. She was my comfort and my joy. Thank you so much. God bless you all.
How wonderful. 9th District officers able to reunite 11-year-old Willow with her owner, Kathy. Kathy says it's been 2 years since Willow went missing. She is very thankful to the officers who brought her home.
A rescue cat that ran up a tree. A lost dog is home and heavy. Will they play a good news clip? A good clip. We'll see.
There's everybody. John, you have outdone yourself. I feel good.
And well, you should.
I just feel good, man. Yes. Everybody, I hope you feel good. And I hope you've enjoyed your mainstream Gitmo Nation media deconstruction. Yes, that was a good news clip, Blitz. That's true. That's true. Oh, I just feel dynamite after that. I'm ready to tackle the world. Coming up next on the No Agenda stream in the modern podcast apps, we have the Millennial Media Offensive. Love those kids. And end of show mixes from Professor Jay Jones, Stefan Jakobsen, and our buddy Leo LePuke. Does it get any better than that? I think not. We look forward to seeing y'all again here. I said y'all. Y'all again here. On Thursday for another 3 hours of media deconstruction, topped off with some good news cherry. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA region number 6. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're getting some of our warm weather back, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We'll see you on Thursday. Remember us at noagendadonations.com. Until then, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.
Red, red line.
Do you have a red line? What is your red line?
Cannot have 30,000 more Palestinians.
Would that be a red line?
I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line.
There's no red line. I'm going to cut off all weapons so they don't have the Iron Dome to protect them.
Red, red line. What is your red line? Would that be a red line?
Over 400 children subjected to gas.
Don't make the mistake America made.
What is your red line?
But we shouldn't have gone into Ukraine.
Do you have a red line?
There's a red line, but I'm never going to leave Israel. The whole thing in Iraq and Afghanistan.
We have to act.
Would that be a red line?
Because if we don't, we are effectively saying, even though we may condemn it, and
the defense of Israel is still critical. So
that somebody who is not shamed by resolutions can continue to act with impunity.
What is your red line?
Don't make the mistake America made.
Red, red line.
America and Congress's credibility is on the line because we give lip service to the notion that these international norms are important.
Do you have a red line?
Because you can always find a reason not to act. This is a complicated, difficult situation.
Don't make the mistake America made.
Red, red line.
Cannot have 30,000 more Palestinians dead.
some of the horrendous things that are happening on the ground there.
Now he's always coughing into his hand, and it's not a real cough. It's a nervous habit. It's got to stop, because it was no real cough. He just goes. And he's always using the right hand. He shakes his hand, then he gets off the stage. Did you notice nobody wanted to shake his hand? I wouldn't.
I do want to play that for you here, raw and unfiltered.
Because there was no real cough. He just goes. It's not a real cough. It's a nervous habit. It's got to stop.
I know it may not look like it, but I've been around a while. When you get to be my age, certain things become clearer than ever.
My great first lady said, I think he's very angry. Screaming, and then coughing. It's not a real cough. It's a nervous habit. It's got to stop. I'm a great American, but I don't know if I want to go there.
Tonight, let's all agree once again to stand up for seniors.
Because there was no real cough. He just goes.
It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner, not a truly.
It's not a real cough. It's a nervous habit. It's got to stop.
Killed by an illegal.
I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented.
Technically, not supposed to be here.
They built the country. The reason our economy is growing.
These illegal aliens? I mean undocumented workers? Made America what it is by flipping those burgers. Forget Washington and Jefferson. What did they ever do for you? Did they ever clean your house? Fix your roof good as new? Trump kept them out. Biden let them in. Don't you remember? They built this country. They built this country by mowing your grass. Built this country. They built this country while you sat on your ass.
But I tell you what, I don't know about you. But I'm going to go to bed.
Dvorak.org/NA
How crazy is that?